This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Single female, in search of companionship, male or female, must be willing to give and receive unconditional love. Must be affectionate, playful, cuddly, willing to be by my side through good times and bad, not run away when they see what I look like in the morning. Must be willing to cheer me up after a rough day, likes to go for long walks or runs, one to sit by my side while I watch a movie that makes me cry. A companion that will be there when I get home and be excited to see me when I walk in the door. A companion that won't judge me or take me for granted. I know you're out there. I just wish dogs could read.
To find the companion of your dreams, go to www.strayrescue.org to find out about weekly adoption events, volunteer opportunities like foster parenting, dog walking, fundraising, and more. Stray Rescue of St. Louis is a non-for-profit organization operating two no-kill shelters in the St. Louis area. For more information, call 314-771-6121 or go to www.strayrescue.org.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
The St. Louis Carousel is presenting a new program series by the World Bird Sanctuary for children ages 2 to 6. Every Friday morning in April, the Carousel offers a new topic and brings some feathered friends to entertain and educate. The programs begin at 9:30 and the doors open at 9:15 for floor seating. Tickets are $5 per person for each 30-minute program. They may be purchased at the St. Louis Carousel in Faust Park or by calling 636-537-0222. For more information, visit stlewisco.com/parks or call 314-615-7840. News for the birds from WGNU.
I'm Rashida Ali Walsh, author and daughter of Muhammad Ali. Parkinson's disease afflicts 1 million people in the United States and Canada. My dad knows that people affected by Parkinson's disease can have meaningful and productive lives. New guidelines from the American Academy of Neurology help neurologists make early, accurate diagnoses and optimize proven and effective therapies. The guidelines also promote screening and treatment of hallucinations, depression, and dementia, which affect many people with Parkinson's disease. They help neurologists track how quickly the disease may progress and tailor treatment, which may include drugs, surgery, exercise, or physical therapy accordingly. Patients should have regular contact with a neurologist to find the correct treatment for them and to help maintain optimal quality of life. Bottom line, the guidelines help improve the care and the lives of people with Parkinson's disease. For more information on the guidelines, visit the American Academy of Neurology at AAN.com.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
When you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of
the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
Welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. We have an amazing show prepared for you today, an amazing show. Oh, my goodness, we have an amazing show for you today. We are going to talk to the author of an amazing book, Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in the United States. We're going to be talking to the author of that book. It is really one of the most, I highly, highly recommend this book for a narrative on black power in this country. It really is one of the most amazing books that I have read. It takes just all of these teeny tiny pieces of history and ties them all together. We're also going to have on the show this morning, the president of NOW is going to come on today and weigh in on the Imus story. We're going to be talking about that this morning. The president of NOW, Kim Gandy, is going to be joining us on the show to talk about the firing of Imus, that he needs to be fired for his racist and intolerant, sexist awful, unacceptable language, calling women basketball players nappy-headed hoes. We haven't even dissected the female part of that, the an insult of that. And I want to just hold off on that. I want to hold off on the whole I miss piece of that, because I think that it is I think that it is something that you need to just listen to. And just feel this comment for a moment, because he supposedly apologized after that, and we're going to dissect those words as well. But just listen, let's go with it, Howard. Let's go
with it. That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to take that down.
Oh, he's having a good time, isn't he? He's having a good time. Let's hit that again. Hit that again.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to take that down.
Does that sound like somebody that wasn't, does that sound like somebody that was sincere? Does that have somebody, does that sound like somebody, sincere about that? I think it does. He's having a good time. And here's the thing, I was talking to a friend of mine, yesterday. And just think about this. If Imus said that on the air, on television, in front of God and everybody, what do you think that he says when nobody's listening? Think about that. Think about that. If Imus says that in front of God, TV cameras, radio, microphones, and everybody, what do you think he says when he's behind closed doors? When he's really got his pointy shoe boots on and his chewing tobacco stuck in his jaw, and he's kicking back a couple of cold ones, knocking back a couple of cold ones, and his feet are propped up on the bar stool, and he's kicking it with his homies, you know, the ones in the sheets. What do you think he says when he's with them? That is a man who's gleeful, clear in his belief system. He sees African women as nappy-headed hoes. Make no mistake about that. Listen to the sound of his voice, and I'm all for listening for people's apologies, but I think that we're all grown-ups, and sometimes apologies are not enough, especially apologies that came 2 days after the wrongful act. 2 days after that, this man meant every word that he said. He must be fired. He must be fired. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to talk about that with the president of NOW. He's going to be joining us this morning. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant, look for delays there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and again from Maryville Center through Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry, look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at 70, look for some delays in the right lane. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is moving okay. Just stay out of left lanes. They're starting to slow down a bit. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split is looking good. Northbound Route 3 is moving well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing at this hour. Eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge through Clarkson Valley is on the move. And northbound 55 is looking good from Butler Hill through 270, 255. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy, chance of showers this afternoon, high in the upper 50s this evening, occasional showers, low in the mid-40s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 50s. Wednesday evening, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy until early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies, a high around 60. Currently, we have clouds and 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 43. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Sir Sax inviting you to a show called the Gospel Skate Party every Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a program in which I bring you the best in Christian rap, righteous R&G, a taste of that holy hip-hop, etc., etc. It's heard right here on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. Don't forget, the Gospel Skate Party every Friday at 10 p.m. Get your skates on and skate with Sir Sax.
Every day, the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Phil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Phil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Phil and Tim.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have a full morning this morning. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, a narrative on Black Power. It is just an amazing book. An absorbing book. It's really one of the most, every once in a while you have one of those, moments when you're reading a book that is kind of like, altering in your worldview. I had no idea. I had no idea of the dots that this author, Mr. Joseph, has connected. You don't want to miss that discussion of Waiting to the Midnight Hour, a narrative history of Black Power in America. That's in the 9 o'clock hour. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the president of NOW, Kim Gandy, will be joining us to talk about why Amos should be fired. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about a report, The Erosion of Rights, Defending Civil Rights Enforcement Under the Bush Administration. And as I'm sure many of you well imagine, that's not going too good. Civil rights enforcement. It's not going well under Bush's administration. It's a full morning. It's lock and load. Y'all need to stay with me because we have a lot to talk about. It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me that where we are. It's interesting to me where we are. I think that we need to be clear about where we are. We need to be clear about where we are, the world that we live in. IMUS is this issue of IMUS tells a lot about us as a nation. Tells a lot about us as a nation. There are going to be protests that are going on, and what's interesting to me is we have all of these people, not all of these people, but some folks out there that say that's just the old way of doing it, and that's why I love this book that I'm going to be talking to the author about today, Waiting to the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of the Black Power Movement in the United States. Very, 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 very excellent book. However, it reminds me, I'm thinking about that as I'm thinking about the criticism of those who criticize those who protest. Protest. IMUS should go, and every one of the sponsors for IMUS's show should be contacted and said, told, do not spend another dime on MSNBC, NBC. The NCAA should say, we will not play another basketball game on NBC unless and until you pull IMUS off the show. Every presidential candidate should say, I will not go on that show with IMUS. I cannot afford to do so. I am not going to have guilt by association. You know that some reporters called presidential candidates all over the country, and guess what? None of them responded. They need to remove him. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know what? This is the most sad thing about this situation. Just imagine being a mother and a father of one of those girls on their team.
I am a mother and a father of one of those girls because he wasn't talking about just about them. He's talking about all of us.
I understand that. I'm just saying, you know, a direct. Of course, it offends me. You know, the same as if I had my daughter on that team.
Okay. Well, he's talking about your daughter.
Well, I know he is.
Okay.
I'm just saying the backlash. I mean, this. I just the clear stupidity of that comment, and then these scripted apologies.
Well, and we got to dissect these apologies because I never heard him say I'm sorry once.
No, right. He just said, "Oh, as you tell our somebody, it was just, you know, we were just kicking it, as we say, you know." And like you said earlier, coming on, just imagine what he says when the cameras and everything's off.
That's right.
You know, and I look at it like this: for any, like you said, Barack Obama. If him question being, is he too black? I mean, is he not black enough? This is his golden opportunity. You know what I'm saying? To at least speak up about the situation, but nobody wants to say anything about it. You know, and also, I guess today they probably will come out and say the white players to play on the team. You know, I just want to hear their response. And also Pat Summitt, the coach of Tennessee's basketball team. I would love to hear their responses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think that people should be calling these candidates and saying, you better not go on there. You will be judged harshly if you go on there.
Well, Cal Ripken, the ex-baseball player, already, he canceled his trip to the show, but, you know,
Well, we got to keep the pressure on. We got to keep the pressure on. He needs to go. Done.
Thanks a lot, Liz.
Thank you, Tim. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning.
Clarence Page was on TV yesterday. From the Chicago Tribune?
Uh-huh. And did he have anything harsh to say about
Oh, yes, he did.
Did he have anything harsh?
He said that he would not go on the show again because he had confronted him a few years ago about, you remember the black woman that
Gwen Ifill.
Yes.
Gwen Ifill.
Yes.
What did he call her?
He referred to her as a maid.
As a maid. Oh, and I'm not done yet. You know what? Stick with me because after the next break, I'm going to have a litany of things that Imus has said that have been profoundly racist and sexist. Oh, this was not a slip of the tongue. This wasn't a, oh, my God, I made a mistake. No, he said this stuff before, and according to Paige, he said, I made him raise his right hand and promise he wouldn't do it anymore.
And he didn't get invited back. Okay.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up, get to me. When we think about this, when we talk about this, when we understand this, there's only one way to see it. And that is what it is. Imus is a racist. He can hold his head down. I watch his interview. I mean, look, Howard, can we hit what he said again? Just hit what he said again.
That's a nappy head at all, is there? I'm going to tell you that now.
Hit it again.
That's a nappy head at all, is there? I'm going to tell you that now.
He's having a good time. He's having a great time. This stuff's funny to him. Now just ask yourself, all of you people of goodwill and good conscience, would that even be rattling around in your head as something to say? I mean, would that even just be in your mental Rolodex of something to say? Nappy-headed hoes. Oh, Serena and Venus Williams are called animals? Oh, no, they're not going to be models. Well, they're not going to be any magazines unless, of course, it's National Geographic. And I'm sorry, I think that there are a million women in the world that would kill for either one of their bodies. Yeah, all right, Howard. And either one of their bodies.
I would.
Okay. Either one of their bodies. But when he looks at women that look like me, when he looks at women that look like my mama, my aunts, my friends, my grandmother, when he looks at those women, us women, he sees hoes and nappy-headed. You know what? Stay with me.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track.
At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You don't have to be old to be wise. The bird doesn't wait till he dies to fly. An emptiness is not for me. Fill me up and spill over.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Brother Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Attorney Brown. Well, I feel good this morning. Like I'd like to mention to you that invite the listening audience as well as the people that are interested to come and join with us, the International Urban Institute Education Committee. We will be going up to Jefferson City to have a press conference at Missouri Attorney General Office, Jay Nixon. And then part of this here reminds me, Jay Nixon does, of the arrogance that we have with I got a chance to look at him this morning, yesterday morning, because I get up so early, and I've been looking at him periodically. But I'd like to comment on that in a few minutes. But now the meeting, we're going to meet at 6 a.m. That's going to be at 4919 North Union. That's right at Union and Interstate 70. And if they need any more information, they can call 600-3827. That's 600-3827. So we're going to meet at 6 a.m. at 4919 North Union at Interstate 70. The Education Committee of IUI have reserved several vans, and other people will be driving their private cars up. We want to have the press conference at 10:30 in Jefferson City at our Nixon office there. But he has been so disrespectful and arrogant. Same as Imus, not to respond back to us when we had the press conference down at the old courthouse.
Well, Brother Bob, could you please let people know what the purpose of the press conference was and what you were asking of Jay Nixon?
What we was asking Jay Nixon was that we failed in a democracy, that we did not want our vote nullified when we vote for the school board members, and that the nullification, if you take away our vote by appointing a three-person to take over and run the school district, then our school board members are sitting advisors, are just sitting neutral. They don't have any power, any say-so about what goes on. In turn, basically, it looked like with that the money situation of over $400 million, you know, that is in the budget for the St. Louis Public Schools, and over $1 billion in the pension fund for the teachers and so forth. I mean, we're just saying we do not want our vote nullified. We have finally defeated the original and all of other of the candidates that Mayor Slay had put down, you know, ran for his slate. And now we're at the point of having our people in elected. Now you're going to turn around and nullify that vote we just did. That doesn't make sense. So that's basically what it boils down to at this point.
All right. And that's Wednesday morning?
Yes, it's going to be Wednesday morning. We're going to meet at 6 a.m. We're going to be at 4919 North Union. Now, that's right at Interstate 70. And if they're in the more information, they can please call 600-3827. And Al Sharpton was on with Amos this morning. They did a live on with another radio station. I agree with you and Reverend Al. Amos need to be fired. He does not need to be there. And they were saying that he was going on a suspension, but right. You know what they just said? It's not going to be a suspension. It's going to be a hiatus. So, I mean, they're cleaning up the game. And thank you so kindly.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Glenn.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I just wanted to add something that that Howard Stern said on his radio show. He said this. He said Amherst's been doing this for years.
He
called women in the office niggers all the time. He said he used the word like it was just water. And NBC knew it, they told the women there that they were not allowed to talk to him, and that he even suggested that Imus suggested that none of the women, black women, could talk to him, and they wouldn't let them talk to him.
Shut up.
This is Howard Stern been saying this all day on the radio. He said, what you got, because Howard Stern worked with him, and he hate him. He said, what you guys saying now is nothing compared to what he did at NBC every single day. He said, this man used the N-word like it was water.
And what I say, if he's saying this right now, what is he saying behind closed doors?
Much worse.
Okay.
This is a character, Ms. Brown. This is not a slip. This is a character you're watching.
And people may misinterpret that. This is who he is.
This is
his character.
That's his character.
All right.
That's true.
That's right. This is his character. He needs to go. And I hope all those women step out from NBC and actually file some lawsuits against NBC, because if Imus did that to them, and I believe that he did, they need to sue, and they need to come out, and Imus should never be on the show again. And let me just share something with you right quick.
Okay.
Guess who said he's going to – I don't have any problem with going on the Imus show. The same guy that lied about how dangerous – how safe Iraq is, John McCain.
Oh, my goodness.
John McCain said, I don't have any problem going on his show. I believe in redemption. You know what? Shut up.
What does that tell you?
Okay, that tells me that you use the N-word, too.
That's exactly right. They're very comfortable.
Okay,
they're
comfortable
with it. Robin also said that he called her the N-word, like, every day. And that they told her at NBC that she couldn't talk to him about it. They told her, and she confessed.
Now, this is the black woman that's with Howard Stern.
She chased him down a hallway one day, she said, confronting him about it, and they grabbed her.
Oh, I'd have to be chasing some. They would have to arrest me. They would have to arrest me, and I would be doing my show from a jail cell someplace.
Yeah, this guy, this is what he does every day. It's nothing. You hear those stories he was telling about the kids, the sick black children?
The 10% of these cancer
10%.
Kids, he's a damn lie.
I don't believe none of that at all.
He's a lie. Thanks for your
all
call.
Right.
1-877-920-WGNU. Bill.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Several years ago on the PBS local, Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
they did an hour-long program about the Rutgers women basketball team. And
mm-hmm.
see Vivian Stringer, the coach,
mm-hmm.
it was an outstanding program. He won an award.
Mm-hmm.
That woman is so diligent and so forceful in protecting her young women that what hit me with the Imus thing is that no one focused on the fact that the young women are in college. Everybody passed that up on the negative side. And Mrs. Stringer has a special needs child. She was just been widowed about 4 years ago, and her heart just bleeds for the women on her team. And I think for people outside our community to talk about black men and black women, they need to hush up now.
stay out of our business because you're running everything. And when a guy like Imus comes on like that, that's a poor reflection of your male, of the majority's male society.
It's absolutely outrageous. It is absolutely, he needs to be fired. I'm telling you.
What do you can listen. He's an ex-dope fiend.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call.
He's that crackhead, right.
Thanks for your call, Paul.
Sure.
1-877-920-WGNU. And Howard, can you hit that again if you get a chance? Because it's just, listen to these words. Listen to the tone. Listen to the energy. Listen to the familiarity. Listen to the gleefulness that he engages in when he's assaulting these women.
That's a nappy headed horse there. I'm going to tell you that now.
I can just see him standing by a rope around a tree limb somewhere. I can see him standing next to a tree limb with a rope and a noose hanging from it. And throwing another log on the fire. This is there is no redemption from this. You don't get to keep your job after that. You don't get to keep your job after that. Craig.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I wanted to speak to all the people who are coming to the defense of this guy. I remember how when people would have friends who were, speaking to white people, they would have friends who were racist.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, well, how can you say that you're not a racist when you're taking your family to eat dinner with these people, you know, two nights a week? One and one not adding up to two. And I think a lot of times these people, they don't have the nerve or they don't have the stupidity, even though they might want to say what these people are saying, but they feel the same way, so they kind of like living vicariously through these people. So I think NBC, all the other sponsors, and all the other people who are backing this guy and not firing this guy, maybe because they have so much in common with him that they just can't stand apart. All right, thank you, Liz.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. Carphone. Hello, Carphone. Yes.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Quickly,
hi.
Please.
Well, you know, Jesus Christ said, what comes from your mouth comes from your heart.
Mm.
You know, so Mr. Imus, I think, just revealed his true character by making those statements, he and those other men that were with him along in that.
That's right.
And if those eight girls have any sense of mind, they should sue him for defamation of character.
They should sue NBC for the creating
CBS,
a work.
NBC,
all of them. All of them for creating a workforce like that. They
right.
a workplace like that.
Right.
They need to sue. Everybody
right.
needs to come
should,
out now.
Right. They should sue everyone that was involved in making those statements.
Thanks for
they
your
really
call.
Should. Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to
me. The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Altinger. You knew it wasn't going to last forever after a nice drop in prices. We're paying more for gas again, a lot more, in some cases over a dime a gallon in the past 2 weeks.
The analysts we've been talking to have mixed opinions on what's going to happen to the price of gas. Some say it may even out a bit now that the British Marines and sailors have been freed from Iran. But at the same time, the big summer driving season is approaching, and normally prices go up during this time of the year. Here at this gas station on Hollywood Boulevard, low-grade unleaded is $3.20 a gallon. Premium is $3.40 a gallon.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. More U.S. troops are heading to Iraq, and those who are already there could be staying longer than they might have planned to.
It has been a very bloody month for U.S. troops in Iraq, and especially in Baghdad, where the casualty rate has effectively doubled since the new security plan for the city was launched in mid-February. Four more deaths among American troops were announced today. So that means in the first 9 days of April, 34 U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq. That's a record high.
ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad. We'll hear from the Rutgers University women's basketball team later today. They'll respond publicly for the first time to racially charged comments by radio host Don Imus. Now, as for Imus, he's going on a little break starting Monday. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Beginning Monday, for 2 weeks, there will be none of this.
Imus in the morning.
Nationally syndicated Don Imus suspended for racist comments he made, in jest, he says, about the Rutgers women's basketball team.
I need to stand in front of him and say I'm sorry.
For many Imus critics, that's not the real issue. Activist Reverend Al Sharpton says this really has nothing to do with Imus.
It has everything to do with federally regulated airwaves, radio, and television.
Conservatives have long argued the FCC needs to get tougher. Others are as well. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
This is ABC News. Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you. At least four people are dead after an apartment fire in Memphis. Authorities arrived at the scene of the fire early this morning to find people hanging out of the windows and jumping off the balconies. Three out of the four victims were children. If you're seeing more pink than blue peeking out at you from strollers these days, you're not alone. A new study says there are a lot more girls than boys born these days.
The study authors say they're not sure why this is happening, but there could be some serious factors at work.
I think the real issue in this is the increased environmental pollutants.
Certain chemicals and pesticides might affect the hormones that determine a baby's sex. Other factors might include the parent's age, obesity, and alcohol.
It's ABC's John Berman in New York. You can hold off on sending the baby gifts to Nicole Kidman. A publicist for the actress says she is not expecting her first child with her husband, Keith Urban. She is busy at work, though. She's back home in Australia for a few months to work on a new movie. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a St. Clair County businessman has been arraigned on tax evasion charges. 55-year-old Jamie Offenberg pleaded not guilty to the federal charges, including charges of wire fraud. Offenberg is accused of illegally evading millions of dollars in income taxes by becoming a partner in a tax shelter in the Virgin Islands. He was arraigned yesterday in U.S. District Court in East St. Louis and is free on his own recognizance. A missing 13-year-old girl from Edwardsville has been found in Texas. Kaylee Stimson was located in Amarillo, Texas last night. She is currently in the care of the juvenile authorities in Amarillo pending her return to Illinois. Stimson had last been seen on Friday evening and was believed to have run off with 22-year-old Warren Harbison of Carpentersville. The Madison County State's Attorney and federal authorities have been contacted about the case. Finally this hour, Braden Looper earned his first win as a starting pitcher as the Cardinals blanked the Pirates 3-0 at their home opener in Pittsburgh. Looper pitched 7 innings and allowed just 2 hits. Scott Rowland and Preston Wilson drove in runs for the Cards, who are 3-4 on the young season. Newcomer Randy Kiesler will take the mound tonight against the Pirates' Tom Gorzolani. Game time is 6:05. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather for you. 7 o'clock hour, eastbound 44 at Berry and Elm. Look for an accident at Elm. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 between Lilac and Bell Fountain. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's at Bell Fountain Road. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue and the 5570 merge. You've got heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3. That ramp is slow onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and then again from 141 through Mason. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some slowdowns. And westbound 5570 from 64 all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got some slowdowns there as well as northbound 270 at Dorset all the way on to 70. Got heavy volume going on there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, showers likely this afternoon, highs in the upper 50s. This evening, occasional showers, lows in the mid-40s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the upper 50s. And Thursday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy, high around 60. That is a look at your traffic and your weather. We'll take another look at traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. Revolution in the air, tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. Say my name. We're going to have a discussion about the erosion of civil rights under civil rights enforcement under George Bush in just a few minutes. But let me first get to some more of your calls. Bob.
Good morning, Liz. How you feeling this morning?
I'm outstanding. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay, Liz, I was calling to say, you know, I know he said things, what he said was wrong, but you know where I think he got that from? Did you hear what Brad Pitt said?
Brad Pitt?
Yes.
What did Brad Pitt say?
He said that, and I hope some callers can co-sign for me. He said that, you know, Angelina and I adopted a baby. He said, but I don't think we want to get no more babies from Africa because when we try to comb their hair in the morning, it's just so nappy. And he said that it was on the TV.
When did he say that?
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I have to go and find that.
Right.
Did you watch it come out of his mouth, or was that something that was reported?
It was reported. That
okay.
He said.
Okay. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Right. And my second thing, real quick, did you hear Iman say that he don't think he should be fired?
Of course, he doesn't think that he should be fired.
Right.
Why would he? He hasn't done anything wrong.
Right here he is, right here.
I think that's absurd. I think I ought to be fired. Like I am being punished, yeah. And I'm going to accept that with dignity, as I should. But I spent 2 hours with him, and it was we got some calls from his listeners who were more prepared to understand what this is all about than he was. But then I looked in Reverend Sharpton's eyes.
Okay,
and,
I'm not really interested in that piece of it. All right, thanks for that.
Thank you.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. I think that I am taking some hits now. How? What would that be? What would that be? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Michael.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, for years, I know the FCC was always hounding Howard Stern for the same situation. I just want to know where are they at now with this situation with Don Imus.
Oh, well, I would think that apparently the word ho is permissible.
Yes, ma'am.
Apparently it is.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Rick.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
That's great. Hey, just last year he was reprimanded for calling Venus and Serena gorillas and apes.
Well, no, the quote actually was an animal, that Venus was an animal, and that his sports commentator on the show, he was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about that Venus and Serena were going to be photographed in a woman's magazine, and he said, oh, the only magazine that it makes sense for them to appear in is National Geographic. So, you know, and there's a whole litany of things that Imus has said that have been just completely unbelievable, just
what?
Unbelievably racist. And
true,
now we have people like Howard Stern out there saying that Imus called people niggers all the time.
Right. I remember hearing Howard say that went on like in the early years of NBC.
Oh, you remember him saying
that? Early 80s.
You remember him saying that about Imus?
Yes. No doubt. I mean, I listened to Howard for a lot of years, and I travel with him over to Sirius Satellite, and I listen to his show quite a bit. You know, when I'm not listening to your show, that is. But he said that for a lot of years, and Robin Quivers, his side, Howard's sidekick, has backed him up on that and said he's made comments to her as well.
He's called her the N-word.
Yes, and other black females in the office. You know, she's heard this, and they both reported this. You know,
Needs to be sued beyond description. They need to be sued beyond description. Thank you so much, Rick.
Okay.
I'm Liz Brown. I'm taking a break. Stay with me.
Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DRLAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Rasta Resolution, removing the pollution and bringing you the musical solution with Rasilos right here, WGNU Radio.
King Silos, a culture nationalist. Rasta Resolutions airs every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night on WGNU Rasta Resolutions.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I guess we do need some peace of mind. Here's some things that Imus has said in the past. And, excuse me, some of the words I can say, some of the words I can't say, but there's a pattern here. There's a pattern, and more importantly, there's a belief system that should not be rewarded with airtime. Television stations and radio stations should not be giving airtime to such hateful, hate-filled commentary that Imus engages in. Check this out. Let me say. How did Imus talk about Obama, that young colored fella, Obama. IMUS is producer referred to Obama as a Jew-hating name. Obama has a Jew-hating name. NBC, MSNBC, IMUS referred to Jewish management of the CBS radio as money-grubbing bastards. IMUS talked about we need to drop a nuclear weapon on Mecca. Also, IMUS's sports, his executive producer, said that that B word, and he didn't say B word, Clinton, will have cornrows and gold teeth when she speaks during the speech in Selma at Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the 1965 Bloody Sunday Civil Rights March. She will have cornrows and gold teeth. And that's not what she said. She said the bee. He said the bee is going to be wearing cornrows. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. Linda.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you today?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I stayed home from work just to watch the Today Show because IMUS was on there live.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the comment that that word didn't originate from me. It originated in the black community. I just finished watching that. How dare him say, because black people call them nappy-headed hoes, he has a right to call them that too?
Wait a minute. What black people called?
He said it originated in the black community, nappy-headed hoes. He said that didn't come from my imagination. It came from the black community.
So black people made him do it.
That's what he was saying.
Black people made him engage in it. So he is so little of a man.
Exactly.
That he doesn't even take the words that come to his imagination.
Yeah.
And take ownership of them. Black people made him engage in racist behavior against black people.
He said Al Sharpton said, because you're going to go before a judge and say, because other people are doing crimes, I should be excused?
And that's assuming that other people have done crimes.
Exactly.
Because for him to say that those words originated in the African community is a lie.
Exactly. They came from when we were in slavery.
Enslavement.
If you would just think about it.
Here's the thing. And Howard, if you can key up that I want you to listen to the words of this man. Does this sound like somebody is saying something that somebody else was making him say?
I heard the entire
Listen for a second.
That's some nappy headed horrors there. I'm gonna take that down.
Does that sound like somebody that somebody else is making him say something?
That sounds like it came from his family
heart.
long ago.
It came from his heart and his head.
Exactly.
That's what he believes.
Exactly.
And this is America. You can believe anything that you want to. You're going to be punished for the things that you say and you do that are wrong.
That's exactly right. Then he says, I went on the Al Sharpton show all by myself. I didn't go in there shaking and afraid. So I invited Mr. Sharpton on my show and he refused to come. He should be the man that I am. How dare him?
Well, whatever.
I was getting angry at the television.
Well, whatever. I mean, this has nothing to do about Al Sharpton. This has
exactly.
to do with IMUS. This has to do with IMUS and his racism and his unapologetic racism. Because
exactly.
I have yet to hear him say, I'm sorry. Did he use those words?
He said, I apologize.
No,
he
didn't say, I'm sorry.
No, he said, I apologize to those young women. He didn't say, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry and I apologize are two different two different meanings.
Yes, they are. And understand also that when people like that say things, they are calculated words because they know a whole lot of people are going to be listening. So they sit down and they write the words out of what they are going to say.
Right.
And they chose the word, I apologize, rather than I'm sorry.
Exactly. One more thing before I let you go. They interviewed Al Roker, and he has a problem with the comment. He said, IMUS has been playing around fire for so many years, and he finally got burned.
He's been burned a long time ago. This is the
time
he got caught.
Yeah, he's burned.
Okay.
Now.
All right. Thanks
for your
call.
All right. Have a good day.
1-877-920-WGNU. Kathy.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning,
Kathy. They're saying on ABC that they're getting ready to suspend Imus, and they showed the interview where he was with, part of the interview that he was with Reverend Sharpton, and they said that Reverend Sharpton was so angry with him during the commercial break, he went outside the studio so he wouldn't have to face him.
Mm.
But this guy is not repentant. He's a racist from where go.
He is. I mean, you heard what you heard the tone. You heard the joy. You heard the laughter. He should be fired.
That's right. He has no regrets about what he's saying.
No, and we also need to hold John McCain accountable because he said I'd go back on his show. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. I bet you are.
Yeah,
and that's why you're behind should not be president.
Just got that right.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Mac.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good
How
morning.
You doing? Beautiful day.
Outstanding.
2007. You know, I never looked at the guy's show. I always kept my, thank God for the remote. I always kept it going past his show because he never was funny, and I always had that feeling about this person. And what I want to say, I don't want his apology. I am sick of these white racists saying what they want to say to black America. The only thing this man is sorry of is he's scared he's going to miss a payday. And that's it. That's what all of them is afraid of. They're going to miss a payday. When Madam Rice was called a coon, what did she do?
What did she do?
Yeah, what did she say or what did she do? Did she do anything? She had nothing to say either, did she?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. These people, they talk about these people and they don't step up to the bat to say anything. I can't understand it. It's very hard for me to see her be called a coon, one of the most highest-ranking black women in America. And their hearts seem like they're full of forgiveness or something, these people, black Americans.
Here's the thing. I don't think that this is about forgiveness. It's about fear. What it is that people are afraid of losing position. People are afraid of losing influence. People are afraid. This isn't forgiveness. It's fear.
It's
fear. Absolutely fear.
I made a statement once that black people don't get mad enough.
And whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever. The fact of the matter is I'm going to have an author on today to talk about Waiting to the Midnight Hour, a narrative history of black power in America. Yeah, we do. We die. We bleed. We fight. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Have a beautiful day.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. If you want to catch some of the shows that you have missed, that's okay. You just go on over to whiterosesociety.org and you can get those hours. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about a report that reveals that there has been declining civil rights enforcement under the Bush administration. Huh. Go figure. We'll be back with that conversation. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 between Chain Rocks Bridge and Lilac. Look for slow traffic due to an accident at Lilac and other in the same area. Heavy volume from 64 westbound from Bow Avenue into 5570 Merge. Northbound 55 at 3200 South Broadway all the way into 44. Heavy volume there. Slow traffic at the top of the ramp of Illinois Route 3 as you approach the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound King Bridge traffic is moving well from the bank through the landing Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight, and then again from 141 through Mason, you can expect slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry, look for delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slowdowns. Eastbound 44 at Berry and Elm, that accident's been cleared, but you can still expect some delays. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, very slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Northbound 270 at Clayton Overpass through Ladue, you can expect slowdowns. Northbound 270 at Dorset through 70, look for slow traffic in the 70 exit lanes. And eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, look for some slowdowns. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, chance of afternoon showers with a high in the upper 50s. For this evening, occasional showers, lows in the mid-40s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, highs in the upper 50s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 40. Then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 60. Currently, we've got clouds, 42 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting clouds, and 43. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're going to have a conversation about a report that has come out, The Erosion of Rights, Declining Civil Rights Enforcement Under the Bush Administration. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Mark Lloyd, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. I'm looking at this report, and it maintains that the erosion of civil rights across our nation over the past year is the result of willful neglect and calculated design. Talk to me about that.
Well, there's when the administration decides that they are going to appoint the conservative judges that have spoken out against equal opportunity or spoken out against affirmative action, when the administration decides that they are going to not prosecute certain crimes but focus on other things that were not traditionally part of their jurisdiction, when the administration decides that, you know, what they're going to do really is just, you know, begin to ignore civil servants who've been in place for many years in the Civil Rights Division and begin to pay attention to political appointees who really have no interest in promoting civil rights, then that's clearly willful neglect.
And let's talk about some of these specifically. Let's go to the issue of civil rights enforcement. Let's talk about how this administration, instead of focusing on discrimination and employment practices, what do they focus on? What does this administration focus on?
Well, what the administration has decided that it's going to focus on really is things like reverse discrimination.
Reverse discrimination.
Cases of discrimination against white Americans rather than discrimination against traditionally underserved Americans. They focus on something that's actually sort of very important, which is human trafficking, which is something that folks, particularly in the Asian community and African communities, are suffering from in certain parts of our country. It's occurring. It's important. It's rare. But that's not something that the Civil Rights Division has focused on. It's something that has fallen under other parts of the Justice Department, but not the Civil Rights Division.
When we hear these stories of Alberto Gonzalez pursuing or firing attorney generals across the country because they were engaging in politics that were contrary to the interests and the concerns of this administration, we see that same type of behavior happening in the enforcement of civil rights, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, one of the things that we've seen, I mean, the Civil Rights Division is about 50 years old now. It is the result of a bipartisan agreement that the discrimination against people of color in the United States was something that this country needed to do something about and begin to prosecute violators of discrimination and violators of voting rights enforcement and a wide variety of other things, housing. And what has happened is that bipartisan agreement seems to have fallen by the wayside, particularly under this administration.
Are you seeing things that are unique to this administration with respect to the enforcement of these laws?
Well, but particularly the ability of the administration to work with a Republican Congress to effect essentially the willful turning back of standard civil rights practices. You have to remember the Reagan administration attempted to do some of the same things, but for most of the time, the Reagan administration had a Democratic Congress to contend with and a very strong civil rights commission under the leadership of Mary Frances Berry. This administration has had a Republican Congress that has essentially rubber-stamped many of the things they wanted to do. And even during the Reagan administration, there were still very many Republicans in place who remember the old coalition that actually got civil rights passed. the turning of the Republican Party into a party of the old South to pick up the old Dixiecrats is very, very different than this Republican Party, which has become strengthened under, beginning with Reagan, but certainly under this particular Bush administration.
And let's talk about the Voting Rights Act. How has that act been enforced? How has that act been dismantled under this administration?
Well, particularly the Voting Rights Act is focused on discrimination at the voting polls in the southern states. There have been in the southeast particularly. What has happened is more important than anything else, particularly under voting rights, has been the selection of very conservative judges that oversee laws that are brought under that particular act. Many people who believe that that laws are sort of like a machine, that you know, bring a case in before a federal judge, and the federal judge processes just like they would any other case. But the judges are lawyers with very human biases and bents towards certain aspects of the law. And sometimes these judges don't see discrimination at the voting polls, or they don't see the activity of states going on because they're not interested in seeing those things. They have a blindness about some of these things. And more than anything else, although you know, there was a very strong bipartisan support in Congress for passing another Voting Rights Act last year.
There was much hoopla, much pageantry.
Exactly. I mean, even though that's in place, we've still got a rank of conservative judges, particularly in the South, but, you know, across the nation that have been appointed by this administration, that refuse to enforce actions that are brought under the Voting Rights Act by certain individuals.
And one of the things that I wanted to talk about also is what can be done, because it seems like, it appears very clear that this has been a systematic, calculated, and very, very, you know, it's been very effective. The things that they have been trying to do, and the other beauty of this from their perspective is it's been done under the radar of most Americans' attention.
Well, it's been done under the radar of most Americans' attention in part because, you know, we have, unfortunately, a news media that doesn't go out to try to find what's going on
exactly.
in the country and
exactly.
sort of reports on sound bites. But the second part of it is, frankly, we haven't had much oversight mm-hmm. over these committees by Congress over the past few years. This administration has gotten a free ride.
Mm.
And so the first thing that needs to be done is, I think that this current Congress is doing that, is oversight. We've already had one set of hearings, I think it was a week before last, and folks are beginning to look very closely at what this administration is doing. What's happened with Alberto Gonzalez is a perfect example. This is just the beginning. And,
but it also, not only is it a perfect example and it's just a beginning, but it also makes it easier to make the point that of what has been happening, this dismantling that has been taking place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's also important for, you know, for the listeners to understand that we are not, that civil rights are rights of all Americans. They are not rights of some particular group. That if you are discriminated against because you're a senior citizen, you have civil rights. If you are discriminated against because you have some disability, an inability to read easily, or maybe you know you don't have perfect vision, then these are civil rights. And you know the sort of enforcements around gender discrimination, discrimination against the disabled. I mean, these discriminations affect all Americans. And you know, they are not the high-profile, you know, discrimination against, reverse discrimination of caused supposedly by affirmative action laws. There are discriminations in place that affect all Americans, and that's why it's important for all Americans to make sure that this particular division remains independent of political
political interference, that we've really got very strong oversight, that we have budgets that are passed that allow for independence, and they're important things.
And we have to take a break right now, Mark, and I'd like to come back and talk about some of the other recommendations that were made by as a result of this report.
Sure.
My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Mark Lloyd. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We are talking about the erosion of rights, declining civil rights enforcement under the Bush administration. Stay with me.
At 5:30 this evening on WGNU's Sloan Ranger program, learn more about the Christian right. Are they either? When Chris Hedges joins Lloyd to discuss the war on America. Don't miss that, plus some history, some trivia, your calls and more on the Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan. 5 till 7 weeknights on AM 920 WGNU. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget that in the 9 o'clock hour today, I will be talking to the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. It's a fabulous book. I really am looking forward to having a discussion with Mr. Joseph. And then in the next hour, I will be talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy, and we're going to be talking about NOW's demand that Imus be fired. That's in the next hour. Right now I'm having a conversation with a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, Mark Lloyd, and we are talking about a report that has come out, the erosion of rights, declining civil rights enforcement under the Bush administration. And Mark, one of the things I'd like to talk about is there is no way for people to bring suits in federal courts under the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the No Child Left Behind Act of 2002. Talk to us about that.
Well, the challenge that we're facing here is a very set of unfortunately technical and largely hidden standards that have to do with
a set of laws that are so legalistic and so complicated, they make it impossible to actually perform what it is that Congress wants to do, or that the Congress that originally passed the Civil Rights Act wanted to do. It's important to understand that the public had really very great support for civil rights enforcement up until the 90s. What's happened is that the Justice Department, in league with very conservative judges, in league with Republican administrations and a Republican Congress, have created sort of a spaghetti-like set of standards and measures that have to be met in order to move prosecutions forward.
They've made it harder.
Who's going to be able to come in the executive branch, you know, take a knife to some of these standards, begin to sort of cut away at some of the red tape, and go back to the core meaning of the law and begin to prosecute civil rights complaints when they come up on a timely basis.
And I think that most citizens out there would be surprised to learn that it is so difficult to do this.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's at the foundation of what we stand for, that we should be able to go into court and sue on behalf of our civil rights.
Well, that's right. And part of what it is that lawyers do, speaking as a former attorney, is that you set up these complicated standards, and frankly, the public just sort of they don't quite understand really what's going on. If you've ever listened to Supreme Court nominees testify before Congress, and they start giving you all these reasons why certain laws are interpreted certain ways, it's frankly far less complicated than it seems when these folks testify. But we have a way of making things that ought to be very simple very difficult if we don't want to do it. It's like a child giving excuses as to why they lost their homework or why they did something they were told. All of a sudden, what becomes simple becomes very complicated.
To the issue of the appointment of these judges, what can be done? I mean, okay, I get the piece of an executive branch and a Congress coming in and changing the process and making the process clearer and easier for people to sue on behalf of their civil rights, but we still have to go to the people that interpret the law and the people that are sitting up on the benches, and we have certain people that are up there for lifetime appointments. What can be done? How do you put in writing what should be done to prevent these types of judges from getting on the bench?
Now, this is a very, very serious problem. And this is the most serious problem presented by 8 years of Bush administration rule. My own view is that the only thing that really can be done is public pressure, that we need to be able to highlight for the public what's going on. The public needs to be able to speak out against what judges are deciding. The public needs to clearly understand that we've got judges in place that have a conservative bias against the civil rights of poor people, of people who are marginalized in society, and that folks need to speak out and protest against these things. And we need to make this a major issue again. There's nothing that's going to be, unfortunately, a quick fix to this, except making sure that the next president that's elected, is more committed to judges that will, apply the law in a more balanced way. But
can we even look at the judges that were appointed by Bill Clinton as helping to balance the judges that were put there before he got there? I don't think that he did a good job of appointing a balance to those folks.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Liz. One of the challenges for Bill Clinton was, to some extent, a Republican Congress that he needed to deal with, one that hounded him into impeachment. And he needed to find a way to make appointments that were going to pass that Congress.
Apparently the use of recess appointments is something that works.
But the recess appointments will fade after this administration is gone. Many of the judicial appointments that have been made in this administration that have been approved by this by the Republican Congress, will last. I mean, you're absolutely right that there's really little that can be done about the fact that we've got lifetime appointments here. And again, public pressure is extraordinarily important.
Shouldn't there also be public demands at the front end that when people talk about who they're going to vote into office and when people make a decision on who they're going to support, that should be a front end demand that we want judges to balance off the mess that has happened for the last 15 years, and we want judges that will be there to protect these issues that we hold up, that define us as a nation.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, when appointments come up, we've got to put pressure on in response to what's been happening. And the fact of the matter is that the conservatives have been very successful. The folks who don't want civil rights enforcement have been successful at creating public pressure, at putting people in place, you know, who do what it is they want to do.
I mean, we don't need Lonnie Guinier writing the books Tyranny of the Minority. We need people like her on the bench.
Well, that's right. But you remember what happened to Lonnie when she was
out. Yeah, I do. But see, I think I would have done that different. I would have stuck with it.
Well, I would as well. I was very disappointed in the Clinton administration, the fact that they backed off that appointment. Lonnie would have been an exceptional appointment in the Clinton administration working for the Justice Department.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So where can people go get a copy of this report, Mark?
Well, they can get it free online at the Center for American Progress, and that's just www.americanprogress.org.
Do the members of our Congress have this report in their hands?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So members of Congress have got it. We've had several thousand hits on our website of folks who've looked up this report.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mark Lloyd, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. In the next hour, we're going to have the president of NOW, Kim Gandy, is going to be joining us to talk about why NOW says Imus should be fired. We're going to be talking about that issue. And then, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, I'm so excited again, because I'm excited for this hour. I'm also excited for this hour. I'm excited to talk to the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. Wow, this is such a good book. This is such a good book. Such a good book. I will be back. My name is Liz Brown to talk to the president of NOW. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many,
are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We could find out today a court hearing is set for the Bahamas where the paternity of Anna Nicole Smith's infant daughter will be revealed, but the fight for custody may not be over.
DNA test results ordered by a Bahamian judge are scheduled to be released this afternoon, and all the key players are here in the Bahamas. Smith's ex-boyfriend, Larry Burkhead, her lawyer and companion, Howard K. Stern, and her estranged mother, Virgie Arthur. At least two other men claiming to be the father of the little girl are not on the island. Gigi Stone, ABC News, Bahamas.
Thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq may be staying there longer than expected.
To keep the surge going, the Pentagon may extend the tours of up to 15,000 troops by up to 4 months. Otherwise, the military could send other troops into Iraq sooner than they and their families had expected. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, is said to be encouraged by the early success of the Baghdad security plan. He's reportedly hoping to maintain its momentum past this summer.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Don Imus is taking a break from his radio show starting Monday, a punishment for the racially charged comments he made about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. Not good enough, says a Reverend Al Sharpton.
It has nothing to do with Don Imus. It has everything to do with federally regulated airwaves, radio and television, and what advertisers will subsidize and pay for.
Mr. Sharpton wants Imus fired. USC professor Todd Boyd says that's not going to happen.
I don't think he's going to lose his job. No, he's too profitable to too many people for a comment like this to derail him, particularly when you have someone who has a history of provocative, inflammatory comments.
Now, we're going to hear from the team later on today. The Rutgers University women's team is holding a news conference on the matter. You know if you filled your car, the price of gas is on the rise. Again, it's up over a dime a gallon in the last week. You'll pay an average of $2.80 a gallon now nationally, a little more on the West Coast. This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helps control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Like Dancing with the Stars, maybe you envy the bodies of those dancers. You'll want to check out a new DVD. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
The Sombra is from Brazil.
Kim Johnson, who's paired with Joey Fatone this season, is one of three professional dancers from the show. Featured on Dancing with the Stars, Cardio Dance.
We've adapted all of the ballroom dances into like a cardio workout, and it's great, and it's I hope it does well. I hope people will enjoy it.
Maxim Chmurakovsky, who's dancing with Leila Ali this season, is also on the DVD.
This is not only fun because it's a dance, but it helps you lose weight and work out.
Dancing with the Stars Cardio Dance is in stores now. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
After decades of segregated proms, a Georgia high school is going to hold just one dance this year. All seniors at Turner County High in Ashburn, regardless of race, are invited to the event on April 21st. The school has already made a big change by electing just one homecoming queen for the first time. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an accused sex offender has admitted to molesting over 40 children. 60-year-old Billy Huck of St. Genevieve had run a home daycare center until late last month when two children told their parents they had been sexually abused. Police and counselors held a meeting and counseling session last night for families that may have been affected. Huck is in jail on $1 million bond. The family of a missing Peavely woman is going to the Internet for help. Hubert and Bertha Probst have set up a MySpace page to seek help finding their daughter, Amanda Jones. Jones went missing in August 2005 from the Hillsboro Civic Center and was 8.5 months pregnant at the time. There is a $100,000 reward for any information leading to the whereabouts of Amanda Jones. You can visit the website at myspace.com/findingamandajones. Finally this hour, Redbird ace Chris Carpenter is going on the disabled list. The Cardinals confirmed yesterday that Carpenter is being placed on the 15-day disabled list, retroactive to April 2nd. The team statement says that the former Cy Young Award winner has been diagnosed with moderate arthritis and a mild impingement in his right elbow. He began feeling discomfort in the pitching elbow after his April 1st start against the Mets. Randy Kiesler has been recalled from AAA Memphis to take Carpenter's place on the roster and in the starting rotation. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. Six minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 between Illinois 3 and Lilac. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 170 and Natural Bridge and Page. Look for slow traffic due to an accident. It's been cleared at Page, but expect delays. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue and 5570. Heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway and 44. You've got heavy volume there as well. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic at the top of that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the bank through the landing. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and then again from 141 through Mason. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect delays. Westbound 270 at Old Hulse Ferry and Graham Florissant, or West Florissant. Look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy skies today. A chance of rain this afternoon with a high in the upper 50s this evening. Occasional showers, low in mid-40s for Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers, high in the upper 50s Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy. Becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 40, and then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches,
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and every day there is a reminder of why we fight, a reminder of what we fight for, and a call to action to continue to fight. This IMUS issue is revealing about us as a nation. It's revealing about us as a country, and the revelation will take place as a result of those that stand silent with these IMUS comments, those that defend, and those that would allow him to stay. We need to have this conversation about these comments. And I want to start deconstructing a component of those comments that has not really been deconstructed. IMUS said, nappy-headed hoes, when referring to women. We need to deconstruct the assault against women embedded in that racist, sexist comment. And to help facilitate that conversation is the president of NOW, Kim Gandy, is joining us from Washington, D.C. Kim, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be on the phone with you because I know you think about this the same way I do.
Oh, absolutely, Kim. This is just foul beyond description.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And the fact that anybody is saying, oh, well, he was just joking, that's just the kind of show he has. And there are some people who are saying, well, it's just free speech.
Huh.
And I said, well, you know, it's just free speech if he goes down the street shouting it. But nobody is obligated to give his free speech public airtime.
Absolutely.
If they are, I should have a show, too.
And the other piece of it is that I cannot think of anybody on the opposite end of those intolerant statements that they would have ever been allowed to keep their job.
Oh, no.
Ever been
never.
Given a hiatus with the pass. I mean, hiatus with pay. Or that anybody would have ever even thought of a way to defend that.
Well, I mean, think about it. Michael Savage got canned by NBC for making anti-gay comments.
That's right.
And they canned him right away. No suspension, no flirting, no playing around. They just canned him.
So I really want to talk about the missing part from my perspective of this discussion, when the comment that he made, nappy-headed hoes, the assault on women.
Oh, absolutely. It is so misogynist beyond, people call it racist and sexist because those are the ists, but it's really misogynist. It's women-hating. It's not just sexist. It's not just...
Women shouldn't get paid the same thing as men.
Yeah, it really is misogynist. It's really woman-hating. I mean, think about...
And hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break, because I want to come back and continue that conversation. I'm talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about IMUS Must Go. IMUS Must Go. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. We'll
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible. Baby,
you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Baby, you won't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. In the next hour, I will be talking to author Pinel E. Joseph. He's written Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. Right now, I'm talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy, and we're talking about why Imus must be fired. And, Kim, you were talking on the way out about this is misogynist.
It absolutely woman-hating.
Can I play the comment for you right quick so that we can kind of just hear the tone, the energy, and really where he was coming from when he said it? And we're going to get to that in just a second. But let's talk about the misogynist piece of this.
Well, you know, there was a whole lead-in to this where he talked about – it was a back and forth – where they said, you know, these are some rough girls, you know, they've got tattoos. And then these hardcore hoes, nappy-headed hoes. I mean, this was denigrating of a group of women athletes that had risen to the pinnacle. They were playing in the National Women's College Basketball Championship final game. And all of that was stripped away from them by these two white men who sat there and decided to comment on whether they were attractive to men.
And let's listen to the joy in his voice as he made his comments.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now.
Now, does that sound like a man that doesn't believe what he's saying?
Yeah. It didn't sound like a joke.
No, it didn't. It sounded like his belief system.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And he also has it's interesting that you use that word, Kim, because when you look at some of the comments that he's made about Venus and Serena Williams,
mm-hmm.
removing them from human existence.
Exactly.
I mean, and that is, if that's not an act of men who hate and despise women and hate and despise people of African descent.
Well, and it was bad enough that his sidekick said Venus and Serena ought to be in Playboy instead of being respected as the athletes they are. And then he said, oh, not Playboy, National Geographic.
National Geographic.
Oh, boy. It's hard to stop and parse on how many levels that is so wrong.
And let's talk about some of the response that this has been getting. When you listen to his so-called apology, mm-hmm. because that's being reported, he's apologized.
Oh.
Did you hear an apology in that?
I did not hear. Well, the initial one definitely was not an apology.
Especially 2 days after the event.
Exactly. Well, the first so-called apology was a couple of days after the event, and it was not an apology. He said that he'd been insensitive In other words, not that it wasn't true. He was just insensitive to say it on the air.
There you go.
And he was thoughtless. Wasn't that thoughtless of him to say out loud what he thought?
And the other piece of it, I love the newest one. The newest one is black people's fault. Because black people say that in their community, therefore it's black people's fault. I mean, that's what he said just not a couple hours ago. Now it's black people's fault. Black people created the phrase nappy-headed hoes. I'm just using what black people, so they're insensitive to women, so don't blame me.
And it probably is women's fault, too. We have to wait for the next apology to find out what they did to deserve this as the Rutgers basketball team.
And isn't that the typical comment of an abuser? I would stop hitting you if you take your face out of my fist.
Yeah, exactly. You'd stop burning the toast.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. If you stop hitting your face with my fist, then we'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? Think about whether any male athletic team would ever be described in terms of their sexual characteristics or their attractiveness.
Well, unless they were being slandered in terms of sexual orientation.
Well, exactly.
And
just a picture. Did you see that Mill Valley team? Boy, they're ugly.
Exactly.
I mean, you would never hear. Now, this is, I know that Don Imus does a whole lot more than sports, but his show is produced by WFAN, which is a sports radio network. That's how they characterize themselves. They talk about sports a lot. And I can promise you they don't talk about championship men's teams that way.
But isn't that also, Kim, a reflection of the society and the world that we live in? I know as a woman of African descent, there is no counter word to the N-word. There isn't a white counter word. There isn't a male word, a counter word to hoe.
Exactly. Don't you want to, you look for this word and you want to say to the white guys who do this kind of stuff, well, how would you feel if I called you a...
What's the word?
And there's nothing to fill in.
There's no word.
There's nothing to fill in.
And that's a reflection of the society
exactly.
that we live in. There aren't any words that are like that to direct at the guys. And that's what adds to the misogynist piece of it.
Yeah.
Because they know that they can say something and there's no word to come back with that.
Yep.
And doesn't that speak to then, okay, then that's why we got to fire you.
Well,
that's one of the reasons we have to fire you.
Of course it does. But you know what? It should have happened before now. I had never watched Imus's show, but I've now started reading about some of the things that he said in the past that mm-hmm. didn't get him fired. This guy should have been canned a long time ago.
And what is also going to be interesting, and I love this. I love the revealing opportunity that Imus's racist, sexist comments present. There are a lot of people that went on his show that aspired to political office.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we get to see where people stand because are you going to go back on his show?
Well, you know what? There are several people who are already... quoted yesterday was Tom Oliphant from the Boston Globe, who's a very well-known reporter and highly thought of, who said, well, yeah, I'm scheduled to be on the show today, and, you know, I'm going to go.
But and the other piece of this is, too, is that, okay, he's going to be suspended, but it's not going to start till Monday? Today is Tuesday. So he gets to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and then the suspension starts.
It's just absolutely
outrageous. Suspension starts today. In any other job in America, when you do something that you get in trouble for and that is against company policy, you don't start your suspension 5 days after that.
Yeah, only if you're Don Imus and only if you're bringing in money for the station. Because the bottom line is that's what it's about. He brings in money for MSNBC and CBS, and they say, oh, he brings in money. Well, let's see if we can think of some way for him to keep bringing in money.
Let me get to a couple of callers here, please. Jennifer.
Yes.
Yes. You have a comment for my guest, Kim Gandy, president of Now.
Yes, I do. My comment is I am a black woman, and I am totally offended, and it hurts what I heard. And it hurts because this is a man who people respect, and they definitely respect his opinion. So I'm sure that they respect that, and they feel what he's saying, and they don't take that as a joke. They take that seriously, mm-hmm. and that's how they view us as black women. Mm-hmm. We've been viewed like that forever, and to have it, you know, just put out there, you know, it hurts. And I was wondering, is there any kind of lawsuit that we could, a class action suit that we could file against him or the station that, you know, is protecting him?
Thank you so much, Jennifer. And she speaks of to a very, very powerful point. This is a hurtful thing.
It is. It's very hurtful and very painful. And I think about the hurt extends to all women who hear that or who know about it, because we all feel it in some way. But the young women at Rutgers, these young women, these college students who have worked their hearts out and played their hearts out and got to the national championships only to be cut down by this, only to be denigrated in the most disgusting way as they're playing their hearts out and working so hard. I mean, these are, you know, I'm old enough to say these are our daughters.
And Jennifer makes another really good point about if Imus is not fired, if Imus is allowed to stay on the air, then what it does is it does say, okay, I can get away with calling people of African descent and women nappy-headed hoes. I can, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. What do I do next?
Exactly.
What's the next level?
Exactly.
How much worse can I get? How much more disgusting can I get?
It'll be acceptable.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's not an answer to the question. I don't think that there's a lawsuit that we can bring, but what we can do is bring pressure on these companies and let them know that people are paying attention. We had, by yesterday afternoon, we put an action alert up on our website. By yesterday afternoon, we had way over 20,000 messages that had gone in off of the now.org website to CBS, to MSNBC, and to WFAN, which produces the show, all three of those entities. It took us a long time to get direct email addresses
for those
characters.
I know, that's right.
But we got our hands on the email address of the general manager at WFAN, the VP Communications of CBS Radio Networks, and the folks at MSNBC. So people can go to the website and register a complaint with them. We've got a standard letter there, but people can erase that, and you can write anything you want. You can write "I like Don Imus" if you want to, but I don't think anybody's doing that.
I don't think so either.
But people can pour your hearts out, and it'll go right into the inboxes of these folks. And right now we're flooding them, but they are getting the message. And in fact, they announced this suspension after we hit the 15,000 mark.
And what's interesting also is that, okay, first it went from suspension, and now they're using the word hiatus. And it still is scary, though, Kim, that it's taking all of this to get him off the air after saying that.
It is, and it is taking the combined efforts of lots of the National Council of Women's Organizations with 10 million members has weighed in on this. The National YWCA has now joined the fight, Lorraine Cole, their new CEO, the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. It is taking a really concerted effort, but I think it's important to note that Reverend Jackson, Al Sharpton are talking about the sexism, not just the racism, and the women's groups are talking about the racism and not just the sexism. It's important to show that we're united on this.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Imus should be fired. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 through Lilac. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. That's at Lilac. Southbound 170 at Natural Bridge and Page. Look for that accident's been cleared, but expect slow traffic. Slow traffic from 40 eastbound from Lindbergh through McKnight. northbound 270 from Graboid through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic around the 44 interchange. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound 44 between Barry and Big Bend. Road construction right lane is closed. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto through 55. Look for traffic to be easing now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the bank through the landing. Westbound 270 from Lilac through West Florissant. Road construction right lane's closed. Northbound 55 at Bates and 4500 Broadway. Look for some road construction that has the roadway reduced to one lane. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast. For today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers this afternoon, highs in the upper 50s. This evening, occasional showers, lows in the mid-40s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers, highs in the upper 50s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy once again. Becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 40. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. Currently, we have 43 degrees and clouds. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Looking for time made just for you. Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed. Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer. There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
What's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm having a conversation this morning with Kim Gandy, president of NOW, and we're talking about IMUS. And, Kim, there are a lot of people that want to get on and talk about this. Let me get to some of these callers, please. Merle, you have a question or comment for Kim Gandy, president of NOW?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Liz.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Outstanding.
Good morning to your guests as well. I was just wondering, has the university itself made any comments about that, the comment that was made by IMUS?
No, I haven't seen anything that they've said, but I'm sure that they must have commented in defense of their team. I know that there's a rally that New Jersey NOW is co-sponsoring that is going to be on the Rutgers campus tomorrow.
Right.
Okay, and why and why is that important to you, Merle?
Well, you know, you would think that these women, as your guest had said, had worked so hard not only to improve their own lives at the university, but to have brought such notoriety to the school itself, and just achieve what they've done in the sport. You would think that they would have, you know, rushed to their defense. and you know, instead of just remaining silent on the issue.
Thank you, Merle. And that brings up another issue, Kim. A lot of these basketball games are played on NBC, right?
Well, yeah, I think that they have the contract for it. You know, I don't remember which network has a contract on it because I know that it moves around, but MSNBC does have the broadcast rights on the Imus show, and maybe he was talking about the game because it played on his network.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. But you know, this is something that has happened to women athletes forever. When I 20 years ago when I was a girl, they were they were putting down women athletes then and saying that you were, you know, somehow less womanly if you were athletic. And here they are on the Imus show saying that the Rutgers team looks like the Toronto Raptors. I mean, really, are we back to saying that only manly women can play sports?
1-877-920-WGNU. Otis, do you have a question or comment for my guest, Kim Gandy?
Yes, this whole incident puts me back at the Million Man March. Just when we were getting ready to leave, Mr. Farrakhan said for us to go back and get rid of the word B word as we referred to it with women. Even now, I won't allow my children to play the rap music that has disparaging words for women in it. Mm-hmm. I think that all of us are challenged to stop using words that belittle women, and I won't let them play it in my car. But I think Amos is going to get a public beating out of this, and he should get it.
Thanks, but I think
that all people who say words that put down women, and I can turn the stations all day long and hear them, I think that they should be fired too.
Thanks for your call. And is this the platform? Is this the time, Kim, to have that discussion about disparaging the easy use of the B word?
You know what? In fact, I made a comment to the AP reporter yesterday that I think he's gone to the H word because the B word has become so common.
Mm. Mm.
And isn't that a sad commentary?
That's a horrifying commentary. Because if the B word just doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Mm, yeah, it just means women. Just means women.
Let me get to another caller here. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning to Ms. President.
Good morning.
I think what will happen here if they don't punish this man and bar him forever from the airways is that they have let the dogs out, and that I can see the future sounds coming out of the radio and television, that it will be flooded with anti-Semitic and anti-Latino and anti-gay remarks, because he'll set the example, and that people can use those racial slurs without any, with a feeling of impunity. Don't you think that that's what's going to happen if they don't punish
okay,
him?
And we're going to comment on that. I'm looking at some words that Imus has used before. I think he's already done that. He called the Jewish management of CBS Radio money-grubbing bastards. That's what Imus has already said.
He must make them some serious money that they're willing to overlook that kind of thing. But you know what? We can't let them overlook it. It's now our job. He makes too much money for them to want to do anything to him. We have to make them want to do something.
So people can go to your website, and what's the website?
It's www.now.org, now.org.
And Kim, when we look at this thing that Imus has said, and we look at the response from MSNBC and all of the radio stations, because he's broadcast on 70 radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
What do we as a what should be our government's response to this? Do you see that politicians should be weighing in on this? Should Hillary Clinton be weighing in on this? Because he's called her the B word more often than not.
Oh yeah,
you know,
he's been very denigrating towards women politicians generally, not just Hillary Clinton, but you know, he's not too kind to women of any stripe or any political persuasion.
And they referred to Obama as that colored boy.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Oh, the racism and misogyny on that show is just unbelievable.
But yet the
shocking thing is that their ratings are going up.
And politicians go on that show.
Exactly.
That's the piece that is just, that floors me, because I criticize Al Sharpton for not wanting to go on his show, and Al Sharpton said, well, if I'm telling people not to listen to your show, what kind of hypocrite would I be to go on your show?
Well, and you know, what's interesting is I read some of the commentary yesterday, what I saw was that one reason that people continue to go on his show, that politicians go on his show, is that he actually allows them to talk. He makes fun of them, but he actually allows them more than 12 seconds to talk about issues that are meaningful to them, and he reaches a large audience. And so these politicians put themselves in the line of fire, subject themselves to mistreatment, in order to have 10 minutes of airtime to talk about the issues of the day. Now, what kind of commentary is that on our public media and on the fact that politicians cannot get any opportunity to talk about the issues that they care about and that their constituents care about?
And what does it say about I don't know. It says that, but to me, what does it say about you as an individual, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Would you? I wouldn't do it.
No.
I would not do it, irrespective of all of the people that the show reached. You'd have to take a shower for 3 weeks after doing something like that.
And doesn't it make you wonder that if he's got to talk like that and that that's the kind of audience he attracts, it does make you wonder whether they're really open to a very intellectual message to begin with.
And I mean,
think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So who is it that you're anxious, that you're suffering through all of this humiliation and self-loathing to get to?
Well, and, you know, the other thing is that I think that the advertisers need to be targeted too.
Absolutely.
You know, the right wingers targeted Air America, which was seen as a progressive radio station with progressive hosts. Air America was targeted mercilessly by advertisers. And, you know, it's not surprising that, for example, Denny's said, we don't want to be on Air America.
Mm-hmm.
Or that Walmart said, we don't want to be on Air America. But so did Pepsi and Coke and Office Depot and McDonald's and Michelin Tires and Bank of America and Sherwin-Williams and Sony. Big, huge corporations said, don't run our ads on Air America. And you know that that was right-wing pressure.
Absolutely.
So we need to find out who's advertising on his show and say, excuse me.
We're not buying.
We're not buying.
Let me get to one more caller here. Tim.
Yes. I was calling to let you know that on CNN they did say that the team will be, they'll be interviewing the team today. I believe it's 11 o'clock. I don't know if that's 10 o'clock St. Louis time or what, but they will have the actual team members on CNN this morning.
Okay.
Responding.
All right. Thank
you. Okay. You're welcome.
Good. And, you
know, by the way, I did check the Rutgers website, and they have numerous statements that have been made both by the president of Rutgers, by the director of athletics, by Vivian Stringer, the women's basketball coach, and by the joint statement by the NCAA and Rutgers. So they have been speaking out rather strongly.
And doesn't it speak to, again, the type of media that we have, that we haven't heard them as often as we've heard IMUS?
Well, I haven't seen them at all.
Okay.
I had to go to their website to find their statement.
And the caller was fair in saying, well, you know, why aren't they saying anything? They're not being put out there.
But you know what, the National Organization for Women gets that all the time. People call up and say, why aren't you out there speaking out on X? And they're like, we are, but we can't get any attention. We can't get any airtime. We can't get anybody in the media to notice that were out there, go to our website and look. But, of course, they didn't think to go to our website. They just assumed that because we weren't on the news that we weren't speaking out.
Or they don't have access to the website.
Well, exactly.
You know, because most Americans
don't.
And
the media, including the mainstream media, really manipulates what people see and hear and, therefore, manipulates people's opinions about various entities because they assume that they either did or didn't speak out.
And we'll be back. I'm talking to Kim Gandy, the president of NOW. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about IMUS. Stay with us.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
At 5:30 this evening on WGNU's Lone Ranger program, learn more about the Christian right. Are they either? When Chris Hedges joins Lloyd to discuss the war on America. Don't miss that, plus some history, some trivia, your calls, and more on The Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan. 5 till 7 weeknights on AM 920 WGNU.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. In the 9 o'clock hour, I will be talking to the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. And one of my favorite authors has written a comment on this book, and he's talked about that this author is probably going to be one of the greatest writers of our time, Dr. Manning Marable. He says he possesses the ability and potential to become perhaps the most influential interpreter of African American history, life of his generation. Right now I am talking to Kim Gandy, president for NOW. Of NOW, and we're talking about why IMUS should be fired. And Kim, welcome back. I want to get to two more callers here, and then I want to continue our conversation about the significance of the statements made by IMUS and why he should why MSNBC should let him go. And let me get to you, Lindsay. You have a comment for the president of NOW.
Good morning, Ms. Brown, and thanks for taking my call, and thanks to you, a president of NOW. Listen. IMUS denigrated the Jews before the Holocaust. IMUS has denigrated the African American women who play for Rutgers who never get paid. Mm-hmm. The colleges get paid for the student services and the students get nothing, but they are now insulted with racial insults and sexist insults internationally and nationally. Think about their relatives who are over in Iraq and Afghanistan who have to hear this. And they are fighting for this country, and this is supposed to be a democracy. I'd like to hear a comment on that. Thank you.
Kim.
Well, I appreciate the caller's comment. And as we know, the soldiers in both Iraq and Afghanistan are disproportionately people of color. And you don't hear those kind of comments when you're talking about soldiers. It was an important comment that that the caller made too about the women on the sports teams, because one of, in my opinion, NOW's greatest accomplishments was Title IX, which it's, this year is the 35th anniversary of that law that passed in 1972, saying that women had to be given equal educational opportunities, including sports opportunities and scholarship opportunities, at any educational institution that got federal funds. That bill was introduced into Congress by Patsy Mink, who was the very first woman of color ever to sit in the United States Congress. And she introduced Title IX and got it passed. And here we are 35 years later. You know, back then, young men had a chance to go to college on athletic scholarships. Young women didn't have that opportunity. If they came from a poor family, athletics was not a way they could get to college, and now they can.
And all because of their gender. Just because they were a girl, if they could play basketball, well, colleges weren't going to give them a scholarship for that.
That's right. If they let them play basketball for them, but they wouldn't give them a scholarship. But now they've got to treat the women's teams the same as they do. The men's teams, they've got to give the women scholarships as well as the men. So I hope and believe that all of those 10 women on the Rutgers team were, in fact, there on athletic scholarships, just the same way as the men's basketball team. But I want to say that this Bush administration has done everything in their power over the last 5 years to weaken Title IX and to give colleges an out at every opportunity so that they would not have to treat women and girls equally.
Do you see the ease with which Imus made those comments, the freedom that he had to make those comments?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a reflection of the political atmosphere that's been created by this administration? Do you see that as a offshoot of that?
I think that to some degree that's part of it, but part of it is that there are some men who have never stopped doing that, and I think that's who he was playing to.
And how old of a guy is he?
Oh,
does anybody have any idea?
60s
or mid to late 60s?
He's either in his 60s or he was rode hard and put up rough.
There you go. Because I'm just trying to get a sense of this, because it seems to me that there are a lot of almost a perfect storm of intolerance going on. We have an administration that has abused our civil rights, has abused our privacy rights, has lied to us, has misled us, and then you had an enabling Congress that allowed those things to happen. Then you have a media that continues to support these types of people and their attitudes, and then along comes Imus. Why can't I say what I want to say when everybody else around me
is doing it? I should say whatever the heck I think. And you know, he is probably reflecting in some way the way that he talks when he's not on the air.
Well, interestingly enough, Howard Stern, whose show I have never listened to, but some people have called my show and have said that Howard Stern was talking about this years ago, that Imus referred to African women working in NBC with the N-word straight to their face, and NBC told those women of African descent that, you know what, you better not say anything to him about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that doesn't surprise me at all.
And I'm just getting a report that Imus is 66 years old.
Oh, well, that was a pretty good guess.
I figured
he was in his 60s.
So, you know, so when you ask the question of what does he say off air, it's got to be 100 times worse.
Oh, exactly. And the people that he jokes with. In other words, he said it in such an easy manner. He didn't think about it. It just rolled right off. It was an instantaneous response to what his sidekick said. And so you know that that's a terminology that he uses on a regular basis. It just came too easy to him.
And then the idea that he is he's now blaming people of African descent for his comments.
Well, I'm sure it was the players' fault too. Don't you think they had some? Don't you think they had some responsibility in this?
There you go. And absolutely, it's their fault.
I'm sure it was somebody else's fault, but not his.
And he says, I'm a good person, but I said a bad thing. But these young women deserve to know that it was not said with malice. And what does that mean? I often want to ask people that find themselves in the same place that Imus does, because one of the things that he has said is, I'm not racist. I would love to hear what his definition of a racist is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, I think that would solve a lot of mysteries, because maybe his definition of a racist is that you got to get caught with a lynching rope and a body swinging from a tree. That's
mm-hmm.
what a racist is. And
yep.
fair enough. We don't have any photos of that. So fair enough, if that's the definition, you know, okay. But that would be helpful, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he hasn't been asked that kind of question. In fact, I haven't been asked.
I'm sorry, we lost you.
I'm sorry. He hasn't been asked any questions at all. He's just making statements, and they're just airing whatever statements he makes, really without any challenge. I haven't seen, except Al Sharpton, I haven't seen anybody push him or challenge him.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
How you doing, young lady?
I'm outstanding.
Why is everybody so hard on Al Sharpton? He's one of the most vigilant black defenders of the Black America that's out there.
Who's hard on him?
I wonder why are some people hard on Al Sharpton?
Oh.
I've been hearing some people, you know, disgruntled about him discussing this and why you got to go to Al Sharpton about something. But the whole system is up in arms about this. But two things I'd like to say. Number one, those young ladies supposed to be at a press conference this morning. I've seen a little bit of them, and they're in their basketball attire. I wish that they would have dressed like students, looking as lovely as they are, number one. Number two, I wonder why they put a gag order against them, all right? And I think that's it for now. Got the other one. Bye.
I'm unaware of any gag order. Do you know of one, Kim?
I don't know of one, but I would guess, that their coach might have, I have daughters who aren't quite that age, but are getting close to it. And I imagine these young women are plenty, plenty steamed about this. And their coach might have been concerned that they would say something that would reflect badly on them in a moment of anger.
And just from when you're operating in a world court like this, you have to consider everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
Every move that you make is going to be one that's going to be evaluated, used either for or against you. So you have to be, and if your thing is not speaking, because speaking is hard. Speaking in a way that you want the world to have a clear-eyed understanding of what you're saying, everybody can't do that.
Right. And these are college students.
And these are kids.
Yep.
These are kids.
And there's not one of them is a senior. I think there's not a single senior even
wow.
on the team.
Wow.
So they're young. They're a younger team.
And to the comment made by the caller about, I wish they had dressed as students, what do you say to that?
You know, I don't really – I think the comments were made about them as a team, and they came out as a team, looking like a team. You know, we think that it's good as a society for men to be part of a team, and we talk about learning teamwork, and we encourage – I've always encouraged boys to play team sports and to learn teamwork. But so often women have been raised – to fight against one another, to see each other as the enemy, or to see other women to be overcome rather than as people to be worked with on a team. And I think it's great to see an image of women working together on a team.
And then on the other end, again, somebody thought this through. Somebody made this decision.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of them coming out in their uniforms, because this isn't about how they dress. This isn't about what they look like. This is about an assault against them as women, an assault against them as people of African descent.
And as athletes.
And as athletes, absolutely. Kim Gandy, president of NOW, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure, Liz. I love being on your show.
I love having you, too. And tell people once again where they can go to sign one of the letters and send it off.
You go to www.now.org, now.org. It's a little story that says Dump Don Imus. If you click on Dump Don Imus, it'll take you to the letter, and you can read about it. You can click to see the stations in your area that carry it, and you can either use our letter or write your own, and it'll go out to all three of the entities that have a say-so over Don Imus's future.
Kim Gandy, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Listen, folks, I will be back in the next hour with the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. You don't want to miss this interview. It's a wonderful, wonderful, life-altering book. It truly is. It really alters your perception of history. I thought I knew some stuff. I guess I don't. After reading this book, you need to stay with me for this interview. Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Senate's back to work, and the debate over the Iraq War is on again. Here's ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
At an American Legion post in the suburbs, the president will complain it's been 64 days since he sent Congress that request for Iraq money. The Senate is back in town today, but the House is off all week. The president has stopped just short of demanding they return early.
ABC's Ann Compton. Now, the Pentagon says in addition to the service members being deployed, thousands of troops already there will be asked to stay longer.
Not even 2 months have passed since the start of the Baghdad security plan, and the surge isn't even at full strength. But already, Pentagon planners are said to be considering extending tours to keep the momentum going. Up to 15,000 troops may find themselves staying in Iraq up to 4 months longer than they had expected. Or other families may end up sending their loved ones off to war sooner than they had planned.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. The Rutgers University women's basketball team holds a news conference in about an hour from now. It's the first time they'll publicly respond to some racially charged comments made by Don Imus. The radio host wanted to meet with them first.
I'm trying to make arrangements in every possible way that I can to meet with these young women and their parents and the coach and apologize to them and try to put into some sort of context and ask for them to forgive me.
Imus has been suspended from his show for 2 weeks starting Monday. The paternity question may be answered later today, but the custody fight over Anna Nicole Smith's baby may not be over yet, not by a long shot. Here's ABC's Gigi Stone.
Whoever turns out to be the father of Smith's now 7-month-old daughter, Danny Lynn, also stands to benefit financially. If a court awards Danny Lynn millions of dollars from the estate of Anna Nicole's late husband, an oil tycoon.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 13 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is ahead 6. This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
So you have someone in your household that's heading to college. You'd better start saving unless, of course, you're independently wealthy. Well, not exactly. But close. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
The rich are getting richer and better educated, too. A UCLA study finds the current crop of college freshmen are the wealthiest in 35 years, coming from families with incomes 60% above the national median. That's up from only 46% in 1971. Researchers say the growing gap shows skyrocketing tuition costs are increasingly putting higher education out of the reach of lower-income students. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Well, they're having an unusually cold spring in Chicago, and now residents are being told that by summer it's going to be a lot of this. The cicadas are coming back. Millions of red-eyed winged bugs will be coming out of their underground hiding spots. They're looking for mates. They'll make a lot of noise during courtship. They'll lay eggs, and then they'll die, and their offspring will be back in 2024. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burns-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a judge has ordered a mental evaluation for a man accused of attacking a realtor. Matthew Wilson was arrested in Texas last month. He is suspected of attacking a female St. Charles County real estate agent as she took him on a tour of a house. The judge ordered the mental evaluation during a probation revocation hearing yesterday. Charges against Wilson are pending in St. Charles County. St. Louis police are looking for a man who stabbed a fellow Metrobus passenger with an umbrella. The incident occurred near the intersection of Grand and Gravoy. Witnesses say two men were arguing on the bus when one of them jabbed the umbrella at the other. Police say the victim's injuries do not appear to be serious. Finally this hour, gas prices continue to rise across the nation, and the St. Louis area is no exception. Gasoline in Missouri is averaging $2.64 a gallon, with St. Louis area stations showing a range of $2.68 to $2.76. Surveys report that a strong economy and the early arrival of daylight savings time have contributed to a higher demand for gasoline. Fuel industry experts point to a variety of factors, including the springtime slowdown at refineries and OPEC's recent crude oil production cuts. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Westbound 70 between Branch and Salisbury. Look for an accident in Salisbury. Expect stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident at Kings Highway and Arsenal, so use caution around that area. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 44 from Berry through Big Bend. Look for road construction. Right lanes closed. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for traffic to be easing up this hour. Westbound 5570 from Tudor into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no problems to report. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Westbound King Bridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks and Lilac. Look for heavy volume due to an earlier accident at Lilac. Westbound 270 between Lilac and West Florissant. Look for road construction. Right lanes closed. That's not helping matters up there as well. And northbound 55 from Bates through 4500 South Broadway. Look for some delays due to road construction reducing it to one lane. Traffic's easing at westbound 64 all the way from Bow Avenue to the 5570 merge. And eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Look for slowdowns there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for no delays as well. That has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, showers likely this afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s this evening, occasional showers, lows in the mid-40s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, highs in the upper 50s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 40, and then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy skies, 44 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 46. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm-
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to talk about. And much business to tend to. Oh, my goodness. We are going to have a conversation this hour about a book that is really, how do I say this, a remarkable work. It is a remarkable work. It's not often that you get to delve into history in such a pleasurable way. I mean, I'm a history major, and I'm here to tell you that it wasn't necessarily always a pleasant journey. It was dry. It was, and I think for me, the most problematic piece in learning history, and the way that history is even taught in our schools, is that it is not connective. You learn about different events, but you don't see them, feel them, understand them in the context of connection. And that's the beauty of this book. waiting till the midnight hour, a narrative history of black power in America. And I love the turn of the phrase because initially when I saw the title of this book, I thought, okay, black power, the clenched fist, Stokely Carmichael, Watts, Black Panthers. But this author is far more ingenious and clever and historic than that. This novel, and it, I enjoyed this book so much that I enjoyed even reading the reviews of it. One reviewer said that this, and I love this, and then this is exactly what this book is. Craig Stephen Wilder, professor of history at Dartmouth, and also the author of In the Company of Black Men, he wrote that this book and this author tells a story with a sensitivity to the connection between the smallest historical detail and the broad sweep of black struggle. And it does that. And it's one of those books that, you know, you had me at hello. I am really looking forward to having this discussion with the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America, Peniel Joseph, Assistant Professor of Africana Studies at the State University of New York. He's joining us from Long Island, New York. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call, and you're about to get one as we journey through Waiting to the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. Stay with me.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I flew like a butterfly. I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. If I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the
welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Peniel Joseph, Assistant Professor in Africana Studies at the State University of New York, and he's joining us from Long Island, New York, and he's the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. Peniel, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. It's good to have you here. Define, if you will, black power.
Certainly. The way in which Stokely Carmichael defined black power was for radical self-determination, meaning that black people would have political, economic, and cultural control of their own community. And even though Carmichael first defines that in 1966, it's really going to be a legacy that different black nationalists and political activists, such as Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X, articulated in their own way for previous generations.
And you talk about in the beginning of your book, because I had my own concept of what black power was prior to reading your book, and it has been changed as a result of finishing your book. You talk about how that black power is often remembered as a tragedy.
Yes, certainly. Black power is usually remembered as just gun-toting black militants, certainly the Black Panthers, who practiced politics without portfolio and dragged down more promising movements of social justice, specifically civil rights. And it's also remembered as a movement that really scared the hell out of white people, that was anti-white, that was violent, and that produced all these urban riots in the 1960s, and it sort of disappears as quickly as it came. But really,
and it's like a wrong turn from Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King gone bad.
It's Martin Luther King gone bad. It's against integration. It's against the beloved community. It's promoting racial separatism, and it's really just black rage and anger with no focus.
And so, let's start at the beginning, where you started the definition of and the history of black power. You started in Harlem in the early 50s. Talk about that.
Well, certainly. The what's interesting about discussions of black power is that, in a way, they rarely invoke Malcolm X enough. They start with Stokely Carmichael and sort of end with the Black Panthers, and the key figure for us is Malcolm X. And even when we talk about Malcolm, Spike Lee movie, 1992, we usually characterize Malcolm as somebody who, it's only the last year of Malcolm's life that's worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because for 10 years, he sort of throws it away, 10 or 12 years with the Nation of Islam. And when we look at historically how Malcolm's political activism and life unfolds, we see really the opposite. I mean, Malcolm enters Harlem in 1954, the same year as the Brown DSEG Supreme Court decision. And what's interesting about Malcolm is that Malcolm enters Harlem. He's 29 years old. He's 2 years out of prison, and he becomes this key local political figure in Harlem, and he really inspires two generations. One is the generation that I call the Robeson generation that came of age during World War II. Another is a younger generation that is really personified by people like Leroy Jones and Lorraine Hansberry. And both of those groups find safe in radical politics in the figure of Malcolm X. And what's extraordinary about this is that Malcolm is in prison from 1946 to 1952 in Charlestown, Massachusetts. So at the same time that people like Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois and Ella Baker are organizing people at the local and the national and international level, Malcolm is in prison. But Malcolm comes out of jail in 1952 having undergone a personal and political transformation. And he really becomes this radical political figure who, he's part of a group called the Nation of Islam that has its own political ideology, but Malcolm is always trying to expand that political ideology. He's trying to turn what is a narrow, a sectarian group into a secular, a cosmopolitan group.
But also what's percolating and cooking in Harlem and New York at this time is just an amazing political stew for African people.
Oh, certainly. We're going to see black nationalists, communists, liberals,
socialists,
The whole idea of Africa is very key here because the 1955 Bandung Conference takes place in Indonesia.
And talk to us about why, and that's the other piece that I love about your book, is the when we think of black power, those of us that are Africans in America, when we think of it, we think of it from sea to shining sea. But there was such an international piece that we're not connected to.
Certainly. It's a global movement. Bandung Conference in Indonesia is something that forces Richard Wright to actually almost lose his composure at the idea of 29 representatives of over 1 billion people going to Indonesia to have a non-aligned movement that's not going to be dictated by either U.S. capitalism or Soviet-style communism.
This is huge.
And Malcolm X really takes that united front notion at Bandung as a blueprint. And then we've got Kwame Nkrumah in Ghana in 1957. And Nkrumah comes to Ghana for the first time as prime minister to Harlem from Ghana the next year in 58. And 30,000 people in Harlem come out to meet him. And certainly we've got somebody like Lorraine Hansberry, who I really argue that her play, A Raisin in the Sun,
yes,
that's a black power play. And the character of Benita Younger is a feminist, a pan-Africanist, and a black nationalist. So even though that play is very successful and white critics sort of ignore the radical politics behind the play, Lorraine Hansberry is a radical activist.
And I love the line in your book, A Raisin in the Sun captured the complexity of black existence that went beyond integrationist and national poles, transcending Cold War-era racial fictions and social fantasies to reveal the grotesque, beautiful and unintended consequences of American society at war with its founding ideals of freedom and democracy.
Really, when we think about black power, fundamentally, that's going to be a movement that alters American democracy. No one wants to talk about somebody like Malcolm X within the context of American democracy, but Malcolm, certainly King does as well, but for a moment, Malcolm really confronts American democracy's jagged edges of poverty and racism and police brutality and its racist foreign policy towards Africa in a way that's more militant and more cogent than really any other political figure of his time. And what's interesting about Malcolm is that Malcolm always sees the international component. 1959 is the Cuban Revolution, and Malcolm actually is in the Middle East in 1959. The next year, Fidel Castro comes to Harlem, and the first leader he meets is Malcolm X for 2 hours. And what's interesting about Fidel and Malcolm speaking through translators, they're talking about linkages between the United States, Latin America, and Africa in 1960. And what's interesting about Malcolm is that before the trips to Africa in 64, he goes to the Middle East in 1959. And he's writing dispatches to the New York Amsterdam News about that there's a global revolution coming, and he's trying to make sure that Harlemites know that it's coming. And it's interesting that Malcolm's allies are going to include people like Maya Angelou, Abby Lincoln, Ruby Dee, Max Roach, Ossie Davis, James Hicks. So many different cultural figures.
And talk to us about this cultural foundation, these incredible African intellects and writers and people that had money and people connected to entertainment. There was this incredible group.
Certainly. And the reason why they're so inspired by Malcolm X is because Malcolm is really like a prime minister. He's really a diplomat, even though we always see Malcolm as this forceful face of black militancy. Malcolm crafts his own brand of coalition politics. Sometimes we think of Dr. King as the ultimate diplomat. Malcolm really crafts a coalition of different key black cultural political figures in Harlem, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, and then also overseas. So these are what's interesting about the actors and the cultural figures who are impressed by Malcolm. These are figures who a lot of times had been involved in different radical groups in the 1940s and were really, really disappointed and dispirited. So in a way, Malcolm becomes a figure that provides them renewed faith and hope in radical politics during the late 50s.
And reading your book, I just discovered so many people that I didn't know. I just didn't know about William Worthy.
William Worthy, who's still alive today. Mr. Worthy.
Is he really?
Yes, he's 84 years old.
I was thinking, somebody needs to make a movie about this man. Somebody needs to write a screenplay about this man's life.
William Worthy is incredible. He's a foreign correspondent for the Baltimore Washington Afro-American. He visits Russia, China, Johannesburg, South Africa under apartheid, Malaysia, and he spends more time in Cuba after the revolution than any other black journalist between 59 and 61. And he's also an ally of Malcolm X. He interviews Elijah Muhammad. He knows James Baldwin and really becomes a key figure who founds the Freedom Now Party, which is really going to be based in New York and Detroit. And Detroit's the key nexus for Malcolm.
Absolutely. And we have to take a break.
Oh, no problem.
We have to take a break. But I really want to also say that William Worthy was the first American reporter in 7 years to perform a live radio broadcast from the Soviet Union.
Absolutely.
And this is a man who was a foreign correspondent for a black newspaper. Do we have any of those anywhere anymore?
We have Howard French, yes.
Okay.
Who's in China, yes.
Okay. And I'm talking to Peniel Joseph. He is the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. He's joining us from Long Island. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Don't you go anywhere.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
Hi, this is Syl.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Syl and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Syl's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Syl and Tim.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking this hour to Peniel Joseph. He's an assistant professor in Africana Studies at the State University of New York. He's joining us from Long Island, and he is also the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. And Peniel, welcome back. William Worthy.
Well, William Worthy is an extraordinary figure. He becomes the founder of the Freedom Now Party. He's going to be tried for entering Cuba illegally as part of the McCarran-Walter Act.
And he was the first American to be tried under that.
The first American to be tried under that. And he's really going to get a coalition of civil rights and black power militants who are supporting him. And what's interesting about Worthy is that he's going to found something that's called the Freedom Now Party, which is a radical, independent black political party. And it's really one of three during the 1960s. It's going to be the Freedom Now Party, going to be the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party that SNCC, or the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, helps found, and it's going to be the Lowndes County party that is nicknamed the Black Panther Party that Stokely Carmichael helps found.
And this, again, I just cannot, I just sit in awe as I look at what this man has done, William Worthy has done. He's more than a writer. Yeah. He's more than a journalist. I mean, you wrote about how he would engage in tours and speaking tours at African universities.
Certainly. Worthy is really a radical public intellectual during the 1960s. And he's a radical public intellectual who's got so much courage that he, you know, meets with J. Edgar Hoover the morning after the March on Washington, because he's planning a sit-in at the FBI headquarters, and they have an agent that finds that out. And Hoover actually agrees to meet with William Worthy and his attorney, Conrad Lynn. And what's extraordinary about that hour-long meeting is that Worthy is sort of raising his voice at the FBI director to investigate racial violence against blacks in the South.
And also what was amazing about that exchange was just the ease with which Hoover could lie.
Certainly, certainly. I mean, what's interesting about this period is that when we look and place these black militants within the context of America's national security infrastructure, we see the way in which they represented a real dangerous threat to the nation, even as they were only trying to transform the nation to make it live up to its ideas of freedom and democracy.
Then you also underscore that point with the connection, the international connection. I mean, I really got, after reading your book, why the government was so afraid of Patrice Lumumba, why they were so afraid of Malcolm and Martin for these international connections they were making that were being made. Talk about Patrice Lumumba and his murder and what that did to New York and the movement.
Patrice Lumumba is the first African prime minister of the Congo in the post-colonial era. So he's going to be prime minister from about July to August of the Congo. And what's interesting about Lumumba is that Lumumba actually visits Howard University,
mm-hmm.
and different black activists in the United States feel a real connection to
mm-hmm.
Lumumba. And once his murder is announced, and he's murdered really by Belgian forces that are really in collaboration
with the CIA,
with American forces, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the aftermath of his murder is that about 75 black activists in New York City, including Maya Angelou, Dan Watts, Abby Lincoln, are going to really form a protest that disrupts the United Nations. And there's going to be a riot in the U.N.
They set it off.
Yeah, they did. They did. And you know, the New York Times is going to say that this is the worst day of violence in the United Nations history. The writer Calvin Hicks, who's part of the Harlem Writers Guild, along with John Oliver Killens and the late John Henry Clark, is going to be arrested and on the front pages of the New York Times. And after this demonstration, hundreds of black nationalists are going to demonstrate on Sixth Avenue and tell the police that they want to be called Afro-Americans, not Negro. And Maya Angelou is going to meet with Malcolm X, Maya Angelou and Rosa Guy. And what's interesting about this meeting is February of 1961, is that we could see Malcolm already pulling away from the Nation of Islam, because these women are telling Malcolm, you know, do they like what he did? Because Malcolm had to be on the sidelines. And he says he's really proud and impressed with their demonstration. And by the late 50s, early 60s, Malcolm really wants to proactively be involved in that black freedom struggle. And so we really see Malcolm also pushing away from the Nation of Islam.
You talk about James Baldwin as well.
James Baldwin is a heroic figure, a really important historical figure and a beautiful writer. And Baldwin's usually sort of just hijacked by civil rights, and he's only a civil rights activist. But I would argue that he's really both. Baldwin certainly is a supporter of Martin Luther King Jr., but he's also a supporter of Malcolm X and Stokely Carmichael. Baldwin, by 63, with The Fire Next Time, becomes an international, global figure. But even before that, Baldwin actually supports those who did the Lumumba demonstration. He was supposed to be there, but had gotten held up, in fact.
I love the line in your book about the March on Washington and that Baldwin wasn't allowed to speak. And why was that?
And he wasn't allowed to speak because he didn't want to have a scripted speech. And Malcolm X famously says that Baldwin wasn't allowed to speak because Baldwin is liable to say anything. Well, Baldwin's really somebody who speaks truth to power, and it's extraordinary because in 1963, Baldwin is this huge public intellectual, this hugely impressive writer, and instead of saying, well, I'm going to take the money and run, Baldwin says, well, this country is really going to be destroyed unless it transforms itself on behalf of Africans everywhere.
Take us to Detroit.
Detroit is really, I call Detroit the nexus, because Detroit is where you're going to have young teenage revolutionaries like Max Stanford of the Revolutionary Action Movement. You're going to have black socialists and Chinese-American socialists like the couple James and Grace Lee Boggs. You're going to have Milton and Richard Henry, who later on become the founders of the Republic of New Africa, as Gaidi, Obadali, and Amari Obadali. You're going to have Reverend Albert Clegg of the Shrine of the Black Madonna. All these forces are going to be connected to Malcolm X. And you're going to have Wilford X, Malcolm's older brother, as head of Muslim Mosque Number 1 in Detroit. And they're really going to found a range of different groups.
And even Riri's daddy is up in there.
Oh, Aretha Franklin, C.L. Franklin is up in there, definitely. I mean, it's actually extraordinary. And what's interesting about this is that you're going to have militants who are promoting social political transformation and black political power in Detroit, but they have allegiances and alliances with certain civil rights activists like a C.L. Franklin. So Martin Luther King Jr. is going to go to Detroit June 23rd, 1963, and 2 months before the March on Washington, there's going to be over 250,000 people, really about 150,000 people in Detroit for the Walk for Freedom. And he's going to stand on the same stage with allies of Malcolm X, most notably Albert Clegg Jr.
And Albert Clegg Jr., another movie. This is another movie that should be made.
Certainly. Clegg is really the founder of the Black Christian Theology Movement. We're going to see by the late 60s brilliant intellectuals like James Cone, who are part of that movement, and the National Council of Black Churches. But it's really Clegg through Central Congregation Church in Detroit who's arguing that Jesus is a black prophet who's talking about radical democracy and social transformation. And by 1966, Clegg is going to change his church's name from Central Congregation Church to the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is still around today. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna is going to have a 30-foot mural of an ebony Mary cradling a caramel-colored baby Jesus.
Mm. And you make the point in your book about the educational, the re-educational and educational process that Clegg and others felt that people of African descent had to go through before they could get to this place of black power.
Education is key. There's a psychological transformation that everyone from Albert Clegg to Malcolm X to Stokely Carmichael and the Panthers are going to be arguing that black people have to be reoriented and transformed. To have really, you know, Elijah Muhammad would always talk about a knowledge of self. It was the argument that black people lacked the ability to define who they were because they had no idea of the historical context that brought them to the United States. And so there's a real process of public education that's going on in places like Harlem and Detroit at the national and the international level. And certainly what's extraordinary about this period is the way in which so many black people start to understand that they're black and African people with a global consciousness and they're not just American.
Talk about something that I would speculate that most of the people that are listening to the sounds of our voices all over the world right now have not heard of, the Walk for Freedom.
The Walk for Freedom is going to be a sympathy march with what's going on in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, and it's going to take place in Detroit 2 months before the March on Washington.
And Clegg is calling this an epidemic of militant action, right?
Certainly, yeah. Albert Clegg is really one of the spearheads behind this, and so is C.L. Franklin, who's Aretha Franklin's father. And what's interesting about the Walk for Freedom, we're going to get about 150,000 people, and it's really going to demonstrate the way in which black power militants are really crafting coalitions, even with those who they criticize. Because remember, even people like a Malcolm X, he criticizes vociferously Martin Luther King Jr., but Malcolm is also inspired by what's going on in the South. He wants to get into the thick of the action, and at the very moment that the Walk for Freedom is happening, in Detroit. Malcolm's actually in Washington, D.C. as head of Muslim Mosque number 4. He's heading the Harlem and D.C. Mosque that summer, and he's really speaking from Washington as a militant statesman, criticizing John F. Kennedy and criticizing the racial violence against blacks, especially little kids and women, that are occurring in Birmingham, Alabama.
And when we talk about this walk for freedom, what is something that people need to know about that walk? What came out of it? Because you make the point that it's kind of relegated to the pages of history, a small piece.
The Walk for Freedom is extraordinarily important because it shows the way in which northern blacks are really organizing on behalf of both what's going on down south, but also in terms of against local brutality and racism at the local level. So the Walk for Freedom is extraordinarily important. It's a strong show of force by northern black militants.
But it didn't have any dogs, and it didn't have any hoses, and it didn't have any of that.
Well, certainly, because what's interesting about the Walk for Freedom is that Detroit, even though there's institutionalized racism in Detroit, it's a different kind. It's not the kind of Jim Crow that we see in Birmingham, but it is its own kind of white supremacy and racism. And what Detroit militants do by organizing that march is really cast a strobe light on racial inequality across the nation, but specifically in Detroit and Birmingham as well. And remember, Motown is going to actually release King's Speech as an album in support of the civil rights movement. So that great March for Freedom is always commemorated through that. But what we should know about that is that when we look at civil rights and black power, 2 months before the Great March on Washington, King makes his first rendition of that I Have a Dream speech surrounded by radical militants.
That's right.
In Detroit.
That's right. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Pinnell Joseph. He is the author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
The monkey pulled the frog, the locomotive jumped the gun, and did not.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Pinnell Joseph. He is an assistant professor in Africana Studies at the State University of New York. He's also author of Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America. Let's go to Stokely Carmichael. I think I'm in love. Talk to us about Stokely Carmichael.
Certainly. Stokely Carmichael Kwame Ture is really one of the most important political figures of the second half of the 20th century. And Carmichael Kwame Ture, he lived from 1941 to 1998 and really is not talked about in most narratives of civil rights in any kind of substantive way. He's sort of glossed over as the angry young man mm-hmm. of the movement who doesn't get along with Dr. King and then sort of flees to Africa by 1969, never to be heard of again. And really, there's nothing further from the truth, because Carmichael is really one of the most important figures to understanding civil rights and black power. So Carmichael is basically a civil rights militant turned black power revolutionary. He's from Port of Spain, Trinidad, comes to the United States in 1952, lives in the Bronx, goes to Bronx Science from 1956 to 1960 and is an activist there, and enters Howard University in the fall of 1960. At the very moment that sit-ins are erupting all over the United States. And he immediately joins SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, at Howard. And the Howard campus, it's called the Nonviolent Action Group, and he meets up with extraordinary young people, but Carmichael really stands out even there. And between 1960 and 1966, Carmichael is just doing activism almost full-time with his studies. He graduates from Howard in 1964 with a degree in philosophy. But even as a freshman, after taking his spring semester exams, Carmichael goes as a freedom rider to Mississippi.
What was his name?
Stokely Carmichael.
No. What was his name, his nickname?
Oh, his nickname is going to be, there's a few. One is the Delta Devil.
Delta Devil, that's right.
The Delta Devil, because of his prowess riding SNCC's souped up cars, because the cars have to be souped up to really evade Southern terrorists. So there's a Sojourner motor fleet where the cars are basically rigged to go faster than they might normally so that they can outrun local sheriffs, but also local vigilantes.
And one of the things I think that is not that has not been told is his organizational brilliance and his strategical brilliance.
Oh, certainly. Carmichael is a key organizer in the South. Certainly people talk about Bob Moses and people talk about other SNCC activists, but Carmichael is going to be one of the key organizers during the Mississippi Freedom Summer in 1964 that attempts to register thousands of voters, hundreds of thousands of voters in the Mississippi, especially the Mississippi Delta. And he's also going to be the key organizer behind the movement for black power in Lowndes County, Alabama, which is a county of about 3,000 people, 80% of whom are black, and as late as 1965, only two are eligible to vote. But one thing I want to mention with Carmichael is that Carmichael, his first arrest comes in the spring of 1961, and he's going to be thrown in a Mississippi prison farm along with other civil rights activists, and he's going to spend almost 8 weeks at Mississippi Parchman Penitentiary, and he's going to be tortured with cattle prods. They're going to be, sleeping on hard floors and really brutalized by Mississippi authorities, and that's going to be the first of 27 arrests between 1961 and 66. And so Carmichael is a really different kind of political activist than we all figure, because Carmichael is going to be one of the few people who actually bleeds for American democracy in the 1960s. And that first arrest just galvanizes Carmichael and really pushes him to want more from the United States rather than less. So,
can you also talk about this other transformative moment for Carmichael when he was trapped in a Montgomery hotel?
He's going to be trapped in a Montgomery hotel during the march to Selma. And he's going to be seeing local authorities just brutalizing black people, and he's really going to have a really bit of a breakdown. He's really going to say at that moment he sees that he can't really be hit without fighting back.
And he said that he was helpless, and he saw it, and he screamed, and he just couldn't stop screaming.
Yeah, no, certainly. And that's what's interesting about people like Stokely Carmichael, is that there's a real effect to what goes on in the 1960s. Activists are going to undergo real psychological and physical effects. I mean, we have Fannie Lou Hamer, the 41-year-old sharecropper from Ruleville, Mississippi, who's brutally beaten by local officials in 1962-63, and is really never the same again physically, and that leads to her premature death, one of the causes at least. So people like Carmichael and these other civil rights activists go through a kind of a physical and psychological torture and stress that we could never really recreate.
And you talk about the role of SNCC.
SNCC is going to be really the most important grassroots organization of the civil rights era. And SNCC is a civil rights group. It's also a black power group. It's going to be a group that influences the white new left and influences black and white feminists. So that's going to be a group that really is looking and promoting radical democracy. But SNCC promotes a kind of vision of democracy where black people and white people should really act as if there's no Jim Crow in the South. So it's really a vision of radical self-determination where there are no charismatic leaders and the people themselves are the leaders. Ella Baker, who's really one of the founders of SNCC, is famous for her saying, strong people don't need strong leaders. And Ella Baker's a radical activist who was an NAACP organizer in the 1940s and then worked with Dr. King in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And she really finds new hope in the students because the students aren't caught up in the politics and the pageantry of the black ministers.
But didn't SNCC select Carmichael as opposed to Lewis?
Oh, certainly. And that's part of SNCC's evolution. By 1966, when Stokely Carmichael is selected as chairman, SNCC has undergone transformations. They are going to select Stokely Carmichael in contrast to the chairman John Lewis because they want more militancy. But
soon to be Congressman John Lewis.
In the 1980s, yes.
And then the same man who turned his back on the Million Man March when the Million Man March came to town.
So certainly, Congressman Lewis's politics are really not comfortable with black nationalism. Not at all. And I think part of what's interesting about somebody like Stokely and John Lewis is that in the post-civil rights, post-black power era, one has really been lionized by the mainstream,
mm-hmm.
that's Congressman Lewis,
mm-hmm.
and the other really demonized.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we have to do historically is figure out why that is and really just follow the evidence and see why Carmichael is such an extraordinary historical figure.
And so you make the point at that point with SNCC that you said the black nationalism long viewed the opposite of racial integration now promised to hold the key to building urban power bases across the nation because of SNCC.
Yes, by 1966, SNCC no longer believes in the capacity of American institutions to just change on their own. So people like Stokely Carmichael are calling for black power, radical self-determination. Carmichael writes in the New Republic in January of 66 and in the New York Review of Books, September 22nd, 1966, that democracy is best etched in the faces of black sharecroppers. He no longer believes that Lyndon Johnson or the Justice Department or any kind of white-led institutions are going to lead to social justice. Black people have to do it for themselves. So when we think about what Carmichael and SNCC is attempting to do by 66, and it starts in Lowndes County, and that's going to spread to Oakland, California, and Philadelphia, and all around the world soon, it's black people themselves having radical self-determination, political and community control over their schools, over the tax assessor, the sheriff, and also cultural autonomy, and that's the independent schools movement, and that education and psychological transformation that's going to be necessary for full empowerment.
And we only have another minute left here. What would you say the definition of black power is today?
Certainly, I think the definition continues to be consistent. It's really a definition that calls for radical self-determination, social, political, cultural control, but also calls for black people to define themselves for themselves. I mean, one of the things we constantly talk about now is the crisis of African-American males, but really the black community. And you have different newspapers doing, you know, what does it mean to be a black man for a year? And one of the things that black power era shows us is that people like Stokely and Malcolm had radical self-determination, but also discipline. They all realized that even the knowledge of black history and the knowledge of African history was really in service to a larger project of community empowerment. So black power still continues to mean that movement for radical self-determination and community control.
And I just want to tell you, your book is wonderful. I truly loved every page of it.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show. And people, where can people get your book?
Oh, they can get it at they can get it on my website. They can get it at any bookstore, but my website is www.KenielEJoseph.com. That's KenielEJoseph.com. They can get it right on that website.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care now. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you all for listening, and stay strong.
I'm going to say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,